He's fixed consulting companies. He's fixed government.
Authorities in Oshkosh, Wisconsin won't confirm reports that they found the body of Michael Philbin, the missing 21-year-old son of Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator Joe Philbin. Police spokesman Joe Nichols says only that a body was pulled from the Fox River.
Probably about 30 yards off from shore in 15 to 18 feet of water.
Three men missing in a 13-mile-long West Virginia cave were rescued last night, alive and unhurt. They went in Saturday and did not return as expected Sunday night. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad gave a rare speech today and said his government has had nothing to do with any violence in the country. We hear him through a translator.
I would like to confirm that there is no any orders by any department of the state to fire on people.
Death toll estimates range from 5,000 to 6,000 since the Syrian uprising started last spring. College's BCS football champion is Alabama. The Tide beat Louisiana State last night 21-0. Now, that included five field goals. Alabama head coach Nick Saban says no defense is better than his.
They are a hateful bunch, and they are competitive as you can ever imagine.
The two teams met back in early November. LSU won that game in overtime 9-6. Alabama missed four field goals in that game. But again, last night, Alabama made five field goals. This is CNN Radio.
We thought a charging rhino would be an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax. But because our prices are small, marketing sent us a rhino the size of a chipmunk. He represents the tiny price you'll pay after saving 20% on everything you can fit in one OfficeMax shopping bag. It's a big deal. But our tiny rhino is charging the bag anyway. And he's out cold. Look for the OfficeMax shopping bag in Sunday's paper. Offer ends Saturday. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Hello?
How are those New Year's resolutions coming?
I'm meeting Kate, so...
How about a new resolution to save?
Announcing big savings at the Sears MLK event. Like up to 25% off all Kenmore appliances. Plus, save an extra 10% off all appliance brands $4.99 and up with your Sears card.
Now this is a resolution I can do.
You're still eating cake, aren't you?
No.
Think you know how to save? Think again. Sears, number one in appliances. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Kenmore savings range from 5 to 25%. Offer valid 113 through 117.
Alcoa has kicked off earnings reporting season with a miss. The big aluminum maker blames a steep decline for aluminum prices, but the company predicts better fortunes this year. Industries including aerospace and the auto business are improving, and that prediction helped Alcoa stock rise in after-hours trading. It's also helping stock markets in Europe increase. New hope for industrial activity drowning out worries over debt. European index is up about 1% right now. U.S. stock futures up, S&P futures gaining 11, NASDAQ futures up 23. The past several years at around this time, we shared with you the annual list of dirtiest hotels in the world as ranked by TripAdvisor. But not this year. The Travel Review website has abandoned its dirtiest hotels list, telling the New York Times it wants to stay more on the positive side. So no more descriptions such as, if hell had a hotel, it would be something like this, or dust so thick we could have knitted our own blanket. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
This is the year I eat right.
I quit smoking.
I lose weight.
This is the year, and it starts at Sam's Club. Count on Sam's Club for solutions for your resolutions.
I'll start with a free health screening.
Check cholesterol, blood pressure, glucose, and BMI January 14th from 11 to 3 in your club.
I got a personal plan to help me quit smoking.
Along with counseling and support from a Sam's Club pharmacist.
And I'm saving big.
On brands like Atkins, Ally,
and Nicoderm.
This year, it starts at
Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Visit samsclub.com/healthyliving to see the
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, two out of three ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you on this Tuesday morning. It is the 10th day of January, the year 2012, and a pleasure, really, truly a pleasure and honor to be with you. We've got a full day planned for you. In this hour, we're going to get to over the next hour and a half, preview New Hampshire, talk a little bit about presidential politics.
Yeah,
it is that time of year, and we are going to work our way towards an eventual Republican nominee. It does matter. I don't care what your political stripes are. The Republican nominee matters a great deal. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by Grant Bossy. And Grant is with New Hampshire's watchdog.org. He will help preview what's happening in New Hampshire. I would guess if I had to frame this, it looks like Romney will win. But there's been some significant movement in the numbers in the last 48 hours that shows that John Huntsman may be close to a tie with Mitt Romney. Is that possible when Romney had such a commanding lead? Well, yeah, it is possible, and part of it is because, well, there's been a lot of Republican-on-Republican violence, if you will, and we'll explore that a little bit more later on. At 7:35, we are going to be joined by the Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer. Those of you that read her opinion piece in the Free Press yesterday were astounded by her stark honesty, what's happening at the state capitol. Is it sexism? Are there, entrenched male chauvinist pigs? Well, according to the senator, there are. And how does that affect her, and not just her, but women everywhere? She'll let us know on this very program at 7:35 this morning. Occupy Detroit will check in with us at 7:50, as always. And Chris Mihalakis back with us in studio just after 8 o'clock this morning. So we have a lot to get to today. I mean, we really have a lot to get to today. So let us get going here on this Tuesday morning.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Yeah, our first word this morning is unify. I don't know that it needs a lot of explanation. It's time that we unify behind message, behind purpose, behind what's possible. But certainly unify is clearly a word that we probably should be adopting on a daily basis. We need to be unified as we move forward. There is no need for us to argue. There's no need for us to wonder. We know what we need to do in order to gain back the House. We need to work hard. We need to make sure that we find candidates that are electable. We need to, as we can, contribute to campaigns, and when we can't, volunteer for those campaigns. We need to unify behind the message, behind the candidates, behind, again, the whole purpose of this, which is to turn both at the national level and at the state level, and in some cases, especially if you live in Troy, at the local level, well, a red community, blue once again. Now, there are some times where you think, you think of the connotation of the word blue, which is to what? Feel down, lost, disjointed, not so much in the political world. To feel blue is to feel, I don't know, enlightened, lifted. I know, unified. That's right, unified. And that is today's first word. And, of course, unified in our message as we basically end college football for the year with the national championship game last night, Jeff. I didn't watch a minute of it, to be honest with you, and I didn't really care.
You didn't miss much either.
No, I guess I didn't.
One team forgot to show up.
Yeah, it's 21-0.
Which was weird, because when I turned it off, it was, what, 9-0? And I'm thinking, here we go again. Another boring field goal fest. And they actually scored a touchdown late in the game.
Yeah.
But, how about that?
Yeah, of course, Alabama, the Crimson Tide, won the national championship. Number one in the country this morning. Our Michigan teams, depending on which poll you look at, either Michigan is ahead of Michigan State or Michigan State's ahead of Michigan. So it was nice that the polls mixed it up like that so that both can claim superiority over the other, I guess.
I don't know that people wanted to see this rematch. I guess people have thought that these are the two best teams. But you already saw it once. Like, that to me is college football in a nutshell. You get one shot at it, and that's the end of it. You know, I mean, that was the argument when Michigan and Ohio State played a couple years ago. It was 1-2. Well, you didn't get the rematch because you already saw it the first time. And this is exactly why. I mean, the second time around, it's hard to beat a team twice in 1 year. Michigan State and Wisconsin is a good example.
Well, again, I'm going to go back to something I've said now repeatedly. Why does college football make it so hard?
Money.
Because they do. They just make it. They seem to make every. You're right. It is about money. There's no question. You know what? Obviously, college football would be more profitable than even professional football, wouldn't it? Because there are a lot more teams.
For certain people, yeah.
No, but definitely. I'm saying in whole. If you throw it all together, yeah. Obviously, college football is far more profitable than professional football. Absolutely.
The BCS bowls they pay out at least like 15, 17 million. So you got 4 or 5 of those. Yeah, I mean,
it's a lot of money.
It is, and then you go down. And there's 32 bowls. That's just bowl games in general. Think about 115,000, half of the year, well, 8 games a year for Michigan.
Listen to how excited we are about this topic.
Well, it's a lot of money.
It's over. By the way, you had sent me an article yesterday that I found interesting from Crane's Detroit Business on speaking of profit, how the Detroit Lions are not profitable. And this did not come as a surprise to me. Certainly up until this year, they hadn't sold out an entire season since, what, 2005, 2006, whenever it was. Per ticket average, the Detroit Lions, as compared to the other teams, are 29th out of the 32. I don't know, Jeff, it didn't surprise me that the Lions were having trouble making money.
Well, no, but it also shouldn't surprise you that as soon as the team looks good, they're looking to raise ticket prices either.
Well, that usually comes with success, of course. People will pay it, although I would be shocked if they go up more than a few percentage points here and there. I think they're going to do it gradually. Ford Field seats, what, 65,000 people, Jeff?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe so. They do well with season tickets, as you know. And of course, the move to Ford Field was supposed to have made it a little easier to sell out. The Silver Dome was really difficult.
There's a 20,000 seat difference.
Yeah, it was hard. It was very, very difficult as a football fan, especially during the Barry Sanders era, to have games blacked out. Because they couldn't sell the 80,000 plus tickets it took to sell out the Silver Dome, and so you listened to some actually fairly important games on the radio. It was very frustrating, very frustrating. I remember those days quite well. So that's nice to know that the fans, of course, they deserved a good year, and we got a good year. I don't know if you listened to any of Schwartz's presser yesterday, but it was interesting. Nothing, I don't think I got anything new out of it. Nothing enlightening. But it was interesting nonetheless, and certainly said all the things you would expect to hear him say, right? And I don't know, again, I don't know if you heard it or not.
No, I didn't hear much of it at all.
All right. So, you know, it was, you know, no big deal.
But no, it does mark the start now of the hockey season. Once the Lions are done, right, you move on to the Red Wings.
Well, actually, we and the Red Wings, of course, we've been talking about them all along. The Pistons got absolutely embarrassed last night. 92-68, the Bulls just embarrassed the Pistons last night. And Jeff, it makes you wonder, is this what we could expect this year? Oh, I think we're 2-7 on the season now. Wow, it's going to be longer than a long season.
I was surprised they got two wins already. I mean, that's overachieving, if you ask me. Especially the way, you know, they beat the Magic one of those times.
Yes, they did.
That's incredible.
In Indiana, one of those games. But that's it. And I don't know. I don't know if they win 15 games this year. I really don't.
Well, I just hope that means a couple of things. Yeah, you re-sign two guys who I have no idea why you re-sign them, because they don't fit into your future plan. So hopefully it signifies that you're selling them off at the trade deadline to get something. You know, draft picks, I don't even know why you go expiring contracts, because you could have just dumped these guys. But hopefully it means draft picks and something to help the team. And then, you get a high draft pick because your team's going to be bad this year.
Yeah, well, they are going to be bad this year. They scored 9 points in the fourth quarter last night. 9 points.
It's funny because I follow a couple of guys on Twitter that do cover the Pistons. And to hear them trying to spin it like, you know, here's what, you know, here's some positives why you should be watching this game. And yet you can just tell they're grasping at straws.
Glad I'm doing politics. That's all I have to say. And we'll leave sports behind. Let's take a quick break here. You've got the number, folks. 888-552-3595. Feel free to punch in with us on this early Tuesday morning. Tony Trupiano with you. This is First Shift. We'll take a break on 1310 WDTW and be back to get it going right after this.
Tony, and you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We do have an accident, 94 eastbound at Mount Elliott. The right shoulder is blocked, so keep an eye out for that. It's the only thing going on right now. It's a good thing. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high near 44. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low right around the freezing mark. And then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high once again in the lower to mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If your furnace broke down, would you call an expert rapper?
Woo! Your furnace broke down, now everybody chilling. From your head down to your toes, you got no feeling.
Yeah, no. You'd call the real furnace experts. Service experts. You'll get a written 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, get a free service call with any repair. Call Service Experts Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. That's 866-EXPERTS. Or visit serviceexperts.ca, also known as Bryant Heating and Cooling Service Experts.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Alan West, who's a congressman from Florida, gets his information from, what can we say, interesting sources? This is what he had to say on national television.
In the movie G.I. Jane, Demi Moore was waterboarded, and we do use that in military training.
G.I. Jane. He references G.I. Jane? Really?
Well, I think that the military needs to develop lightsabers, because in the movie Star Wars, they proved to be pretty useful.
First Shift with Tony Triano. On 1310 WDTW.
Tea party guy, by the way.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here with breaking news. Let's go to Jim in the chopper.
Hey, Flo, looks like Progressive is offering the Snapshot discount. It's their biggest discount ever. Should be huge.
That's big, Jim. But what's with a chopper?
What do you mean? It's a chopper. Choppers are sweet.
They kind of are.
The Snapshot discount. It's new, it's a big deal, and it's finally here. Learn more at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Snapshot is not available in all states.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this early Tuesday morning. Pleasure being with you. Our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day is a simple one. Do you plan to attend the auto show this year once it opens to the public? Just yes or no or not sure. Early morning results are all in the no or not sure category, which I thought was actually kind of interesting. you know, again, I said yesterday I'm just not I'm not into crowds, which is why I'm not going. But I thought that people would be all over that. But I could be wrong. We'll see what happens. For those of you that are on the Facebook page early this morning, you'll see that I posted, and I'll come back and talk about this in just a minute, but you see I'll posted an article in this morning's Free Press that the Mayor Janice Daniels once again has made an anti-gay or not a slur. Basically, what happened was putting together a suicide prevention workshop, and she wanted to invite a psychologist to it that would talk to the kids about homosexuality being a mental illness. She just doesn't get it. She just doesn't get it. And a very bizarre story, and I got to tell you, this really bothered me a great deal. Last Thursday morning, many of us know that there was a major car accident, or what was presumed to be a car accident, on 696 right here by the studio in Farmington Hills. We find out from the coroner yesterday that they are now considering that accident a suicide, which is disturbing. The original story, as I understand it, was that somebody was fixing a flat tire and was hit by three or more vehicles, but they were able to confirm three, was killed as a result of that accident. Come to find out, there were some extenuating circumstances, some of which included this man having some domestic charges, an investigation against him. And they are now determining that that was not an accident, but a suicide. And Jeff, you and I were briefly discussing this this morning, and my oh my, what a horrible way to end things for yourself. Again, I don't claim to understand what it takes to get to the point where you're suicidal. And I take that very seriously, and of course, it just breaks my heart to think of what this man's family must be going through.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine either. You know, like you said, getting to the point where you want to end it. And I, you know, I don't know. I would think of ways that I don't know how much pain you go through throwing yourself in front of traffic and it being that instant. But I would think of a way that I think would be less painful for
yeah,
me.
Well, yeah, and you know, whatever. Led him to this decision, we will obviously never know. We will not know what led him to this decision. Again, certainly I want to stop and be very mindful and prayerful even with he and his family. That they have to go through this kind of pain in the aftermath of the decision that he made. I know there are some people that have very definitive views on suicide. They consider it cowardice, and the people have very, very strong views on this. I don't judge in that regard. I truly don't. It just breaks my heart to think of what this man's family must be going through. You know, especially in light of the fact that he was a firefighter, you know, has saved lives. It just makes you, stop and pause and really wonder, but it was just it was not what I expected to see. Although when I read a follow-up story, Jeff, after, I think it was Friday or even Saturday morning, that said that the tire that he was supposedly changing was not flat. And so that's what led them to believe that maybe there was something beyond just changing a flat tire, and that he was somehow accidentally struck by another vehicle. And so that's what led them on this path. And obviously throughout their investigation, they determined that this was a suicide as opposed to an accidental death.
So. Another thing to consider, which I don't know if it's harsh or not, because obviously the guy was going through pain if he decided to go through suicide. But imagine being on the road. You know, and I don't know how, whenever you see someone pulled off to the side, gawkers will happen. So people will look, and think about the people that were driving by, maybe on the other side or whatever, and just, saw this. How traumatic would this be to be a witness of watching a guy do this?
Yeah, I think it would be very traumatic. There's no question. How about being one of the vehicles that actually hit him?
Well, and that's, not just him. The way I heard the story, and I don't know, I haven't really been following up, but is he threw himself in front of a semi, right?
Yeah, but amongst the he threw himself in front of a semi.
After a semi, I've seen videos. You see videos like on YouTube of semi hitting deer or whatever. There's not much left after something, an animal or somebody runs out in front. I mean, semis are nothing to mess with. The inertia behind them and the force and the fact, they're just very.
It's interesting because last summer, Jeff, there were a series of three or four suicides by vehicle on 75. I think they were all on 75, different spots on 75. And again, these were people that stepped in front of a semi-truck. I don't understand the mindset that even allows you to put yourself in that situation. I really don't get it. I just don't get it. Again, it's very painful. And I don't mean in the physical sense, in the emotional sense. The difficulty of doing this and what he's done to his family is just, it's astounding. It is astounding. You're right. Yeah. Anyway, our thoughts and prayers are with his family, and I hope that they're able to get through this as quickly as possible and move on from it. And I don't know how you do that. I really don't. I do know that there are good people out there, psychologists and clergy and friends and family that do help people in their time of need, and I can't think of a more appropriate time than this. So going back to our first word, let them unify, Jeff, and come together and help this family deal with this tragedy and move on from it. Just a horrible situation. And again, if you go with the full story, if there were some domestic abuse charges involved in this, then there's more than just the suicide to deal with here. So again, these folks are certainly in our thoughts. What do you think of Mayor Janice Daniels, Jeff, as we've got now another incident? The number one, calling gays queers on Facebook. Number two, turning down the money for the transit center, which, it was just absolutely ridiculous. And now, she wants to bring in a psychologist to talk to young people about homosexuality being a mental illness. And although the psychological community, as late as early as 1975, you know, put that to the side and said, no, this is not a mental illness. In fact, they took it out of that category again, and one of the associations in 73, one in 75. We'll come back and talk about that. Janice Daniels, mayor of Troy. My, oh, my. Do they have their hands full there? And it just seems like she's hell-bent on doing it her way. She may find out why she was not meant for politics. We'll take a quick break here. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll also take a look at New Hampshire and Bob Ficano. In trouble again? You betcha. Stay tuned. Lots more to come on First Shift.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tunnel traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Still looking at that accident, 94 eastbound at Mount Elliott. The red shoulder is blocked, but don't expect too much of a delay. Just some people braking as they go around it. I'm Russ with traffic.
Drive through McDonald's and try the new dollar menu featuring meaty, melty McDouble with 100% beef and cheese or the golden McChicken. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high in the lower to mid 40s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 31. Then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high near 44. Quick look at Thursday, some rain and snow showers move in. Right now, it's fair and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
A bipartisan majority in Washington has been quietly funding a multi-million dollar educational initiative to lift people up. Great! Except that the initiative is not for hard-hit Americans, but for Afghanistan. Actually, only top Afghan officials can participate and get ready to upchuck. This so-called educational effort is to teach the corrupt leaders of President Hamid Karzai's regime the art of public relations. Specifically, how to hold news conferences. How's that going, you ask? Not well. Though in fairness, let's acknowledge that Karzai's officials have at least begun to hold a few actual press meetings. Previously, Afghan ministries required the media to submit any questions by fax, which was a bit of a runaround since they had no working fax machines. So, this is counted as a giant step forward. Now, though, U.S. instructors have abruptly withdrawn from the PR school. Apparently, they're annoyed that Karzai and his cohorts keep criticizing and frustrating our efforts to help them establish a functioning government. Last year, for example, the Afghan Attorney General expelled American advisors from his office after they kept pushing him to prosecute cases of blatant corruption against his fellow officials. Still, while our advisors, instructors, and mentors have been pulled, our money has not. American financing of the PR school continues. It's all part of our $8 billion tax dollars a month, that Washington keeps airlifting into Afghanistan, while our own people's educational and job training needs are being slashed. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, at least Obama is getting us out of Afghanistan in 2014, right? Well, he says so, but Pentagon war hawks say they want to negotiate with Karzai to keep thousands of American forces there and billions more of our tax dollars beyond Obama's deadline.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Union. Solidarity. Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock, we'll welcome back Troy Mayer, Janice Daniels, Tea Party member, proud Tea Party member. Keeps on stepping in it, I'm just wondering how long before she completely implodes. Really offending high school kids at Troy High School who are putting together a seminar, a symposium, if you will, on suicide prevention, and she suggested that they invite a psychologist that would talk to them about why homosexuality is a mental illness. Both the psychological societies, both the one in 73, the other in 1975, removed homosexuality as a mental illness, and it's no longer and has not been considered that since the mid-70s. So a legitimate psychologist would come to this event, tell young people that, you know, they have a mental disease. Does she continue to get it wrong on purpose, you think, or does she just not get it? And let me just read briefly from the article in the Free Press this morning. While discussing plans for a forum on bullying and suicide, Daniels told students she wanted to invite a panel of psychologists who would testify that homosexuality is a mental disease. And this is according to Sky Curtis, who's a 17-year-old senior and co-president of the Gay Straight Alliance at Troy High School. Daniels denied making the comment, but Daniels says, what I said was there's a higher incidence of overall disease in the homosexual community. She said she taped the meeting and had reviewed her statements after the meeting. She declined to play the tape for the Free Press. Then she goes on to say, I believe in full disclosure, adding that I would like to reach out to this girl and her parents about how this can be resolved. Now, Jeff, here's my question to you. If you believe in full disclosure, why not play the tape for the Free Press?
Well, you don't believe in wrangling yourself either, apparently.
I'm just saying, if you believe in full disclosure, play the tape, right?
Well, yeah, you would think so, but if you know there's something in there that's going to make you look bad, then maybe you don't believe in full disclosure completely. You believe in full disclosure as long as it doesn't hurt yourself.
No. The kids, by the way, decided, Sky Curtis and Zach Kilgore, who was also 17, who were putting together this forum, decided not to invite the mayor to participate after all. So she has been uninvited to this forum. And it just blows my mind that she continues to get it so wrong. And she does continue to get it so wrong. Again, this idea that that homosexuality is some kind of mental illness. And again, I'll just reiterate, in 1973, the American Psychiatric Association declassified homosexuality as a mental illness. And in 1975, the American Psychological Association, Council of Representatives, did the same thing. So very, very sad and interesting. Poor folks in Troy. I'm glad.
You know, when you run for mayor of Troy, and just like mayor of a city, when you're a kid, maybe not high school, you start actually, you know, getting into worldviews and making your own opinions. But like, you know, when you're younger than high school, you elected officials, you just think, you know, okay, they know what is good, you know, what the right way to do things is. I just don't think mayors should be getting into, you know, some personal issues. Like just run Troy, make decisions for the people there. Why get into the comments about stuff like this?
Well, Mayor Daniels is not a politician, let that stand on its own. Number one, number two, they don't have a strong mayor form of government. They actually have a city manager that runs the city. And it's her role is supposed to be more, interestingly enough, ceremonial, which obviously in her case is not true because she's, you know, again, become quite well known very, very quickly for doing the wrong thing. So I find that in and of itself very interesting. Jeff, if her interest, because she is a Tea Party member, if her interest is in the Tea Party agenda, then this does make complete sense that she would go after homosexuality, doesn't it? I mean, they claim to be the righteous, or as Newt would say, the pious people that lead society. So this doesn't surprise me that she's doing it. What's surprising me is that she continues to do it with such utter stupidity, because there's no nice way to spin this thing.
Well, it's a lot like what Joe was talking with us on Friday about, Joe DeSano, saying, you know, some people run or they want to get into politics without actually thinking what's involved. And it's not, you know, glamorous. Like, you know, it almost seems like, you know, Mayor Daniels got into it thinking, oh, yeah, I'll be mayor. How fun will that be? And you don't realize, you know, what is it? It was involved, you know, like your Facebook posts matter. Things you say to high school students matter. Like,
yeah, you know, and
it doesn't dawn on her.
I think that for her, it wasn't even that it would be fun. She thought, well, you know, I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm going to show them how to do this properly. I'll show them how to run a city. I'll show them how to make a city profitable. You know, not realizing that there's a lot more to doing this than just having a point of view on a fiscal matter. And so that's what that's what happens when you run on a single issue, which is what she did. And she's quickly finding out, as are the people of Troy, that it's dangerous to play that game. Anyway, let's move on, because there is another elected representative that's got his hands full again this morning. You'll read in today's papers, both the news and the free press, that Bob Ficano is going to be laying off 44 appointees over the next couple of weeks, saving the city or the county a significant amount of money. Of course, the county has been running a $160 million deficit for a while now, so what he's been waiting for is beyond me. But he still has a boatload of problems. And according to this first piece of audio we're going to share with you from Channel 4, a misuse of funds may be one of the many issues that comes back to bite. Bopping Bob in the butt. Here we go.
Accusations made tonight in the severance scandal that has rocked Wayne County.
That's right. There are allegations that County Executive Robert Ficano misused money that should have gone to help people with disabilities. Instead, those funds were used to hire staff members.
Our Sean Lay has the story from Detroit.
When FBI agents served subpoenas here at county executive offices, insiders told Local 4 those agents would be digging and digging deep, and apparently the more they dig, the more they're finding. New jaw-dropping allegations facing Wayne County Executive Robert Ficano and his embattled administration. This time, Local 4 has confirmed that Mr. Ficano is now facing bombshell allegations from two different past administrators. They're blowing the whistle that Ficano allegedly took funds intended to help the most vulnerable of the community, Medicaid dollars, flowing in from Washington to help the mentally ill and disabled, were allegedly scooped up by Ficano's administration and spent elsewhere to hire staff members and used in other ways. Ficano spokesperson Brooke Blackwell says the allegations aren't true. In a statement to Local 4, Blackwell says, quote, anyone can make an allegation, but the truth of the matter is there have been no irregularities in any of the many audits conducted. Mental health is only partially funded by federal dollars, and those funds earmarked for expenses and salaries are carefully accounted for. Many people and staffers are advocates for community mental health programs. Yeah, County Commissioner Bernard Parker has a different take, saying outside audits don't dig deep enough, and he says the disabled deserve answers.
It's very upsetting to us. We had a waiting list of people that are on the mental health need services just a few months ago, and it's a shame to think that we misappropriated the money and then people could not get services.
Commissioner Parker telling Local 4 all this means that the commission will now likely try to again move mental health services into its own independent agency. In downtown Detroit, Sean Lane, Local 4.
All right, so that is issue one. That is issue one. I know a lot of, by the way, I know a handful of people that worked in Wayne County Mental Health that lost their jobs because funding ran out. So it begs the question to me, and it happened in the window of this time where they're accusing Bob Ficano of misappropriating these funds for salaries as opposed to programs or salaries within the mental health field, which is more appropriate. And when we come back from the break, we're going to play some more audio. This is time from Fox, Fox Detroit. But the reality is Bob Ficano continues to show a pattern. And after a while, you begin to wonder. And listen, I didn't wish him ill from the beginning. And I told you folks this, you know, weeks ago, that Bob Ficano has never been. It's like wishing the county ill, and I live in Wayne County, and I live in Michigan, and you just don't want this stuff to happen. But it is happening, and at some point, again, the pattern of behavior that we are beginning to see here, even if they're just accusations, there seems to be enough metal behind them where you begin to wonder, okay, not only how much of it is true, because we're beginning to see some of it is true. It's how deep it goes, and that's where it really becomes problematic. And I said this either last week or the week before. I'm not sure how the FBI wraps this up. I really don't know how they do that. At some point, I guess they would come with charges against whoever, and not just Bob Ficano, whoever in county government. Or they go to a grand jury. I'm not exactly sure how they do it. But it seems to me, and again, we've got more to talk about on their side, it seems to me that this has become beyond problematic for the county executive in Wayne, and that man is Bob Ficano. Brooks Patterson, just the other day on this very show, the audio we played said that he believed that Bob Ficano would have to resign before this was all said and done. I'm beginning to believe that's probable. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Recently on First Shift.
So joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. Reminding the next hour, we're going to preview the New Hampshire primary. And at some point this morning, as time allows, we'll get to some audio from New Hampshire as well. But sticking with the Bob Ficano story just a little bit further, the Wayne County executive, again, finds himself in further trouble. Just to backtrack a little bit, again, in this morning's papers, both the News and the Free Press, you'll see there's a story about him laying off, basically firing 44 employees, saving a significant amount of money. But part of the ongoing discussion an investigation is where is the corruption and how deep does it go? Well, one of the things, and we had initially reported on this next piece some weeks back, but again, there was an order in place that banned details of the settlement to become public. Well, all the gloves are off. This piece from Channel 2. Here we go.
Wayne County Executive Robert Ficano and the County Commission agreed to a settlement with former Mental Health Director Patricia Kukula-Shalinsky. Ficano fired her in a dispute when she claimed he was using mental health money to pay for political appointees. The details of the settlement were kept under wraps through a confidentiality agreement. But a federal judge agreed with a motion by a union activist to open up the agreement.
I'm glad that Judge Freeman clarified the fact that there is no longer a confidentiality order and that the other documents in which the county refused to turn over, based upon the order that was entered, can now be disclosed to the public.
A spokesperson says Ficano is providing the information. Kukula's settlement did boost her retirement to about $90,000 a year, but critics say money from a special fund may have kept her on the payroll for some time.
State law clearly prohibits an individual from receiving their pension prior to their eligible age. So the county has a number of legal issues here, considering that they allowed her to draw her pension early. In addition, they allowed her a special pension deal that they allowed no other employee within the county, including union employees, which is a violation of state law.
A spokesperson for Ficano says everything in the settlement was done within the law. Those pressing for more openness in the severance deal say Wayne County's resistance costs the taxpayers more money.
We'd certainly like the county to open up and comply with FOIA, and if we have to make a trip every time to the court that signed the confidentiality agreement, it's going to be burdensome on us and burdensome on the taxpayers, because when the county doesn't comply with FOIA, they have to pay his attorney's fees.
The union activist has another case against the county in Wayne County Circuit Court. He argues the case points to larger issues.
These are some of the issues in which county employees have been complaining about for years. They're saying there's not enough money to pay county union employees, but yet there's enough money to pay off special deals in order to keep people shut who are alleging some political corruption, and I don't think that's fair.
In Detroit, Bill Gallagher, Fox 2 News.
All right, so there we go. There it's laid out. We're going to just kind of basically, at some point, you just leave it there. We will continue to wait on the FBI.
How much trouble do you think the person who blew the whistle should get in? The Kukula girl.
I don't think she should get in any trouble.
Well, I mean, here she blew the whistle and then backs off and gets, you know, all this money in the meanwhile and gets special privileges to basically not say anything. And yet, you know, the problem then goes unnoticed until later on.
Well, interestingly, and this is the part that is different than some of these others, is that the city, the county commission actually agreed to this settlement. Unlike some of the other things that we've heard come out of Wayne County, this one, clearly, they were aware that this was going on. So how, you know, and you had asked the question before the show, why is Bernard Parker so verbose these days? I suggested to you that he's looking to run for a higher office, so that's why. And don't be surprised if you don't see that happen, if not in this election cycle, maybe a very near future one. But the county commission was aware of this, Jeff. They had knowledge of it, and they approved the settlement. So this is one where they can't claim stupidity.
Well, no, but it still, I mean, does that make it right?
No, it doesn't make it right.
It's one of those deals where, you know, for a while, like, you know, in Penn State, I always relate things to sports. So in Penn State, the guy, you know, sees something and doesn't report it because what people are saying is, well, you got a better job, so it's a hush job. Like, here's a better job, don't say anything. You know, much like, you know, I kind of related to this, where she was blowing the whistle, like, this is just not right. Mental health people deserve this money because it was their money.
Right.
And then suddenly they're like, well, you know what, why don't we just come to a settlement? You can have, you know, draw your pension early and get some special benefits. Just don't say anything.
Well, but here's the deal. Did it stop the behavior? And I believe in this case that's exactly what happened. So instead of it going public, if they were indeed using the money, appropriating that money inappropriately, they stopped doing it. So the effect was that she stopped them from illegally using that money. So that's a good thing. So should she be punished or penalized for that? There's a gray area here, Jeff. I'm not saying there's not a gray area. There's a gray area here. I'll agree to that.
Well, and I'm with you, or I was with you until I started thinking about it a little bit. But I was like, you know, she shouldn't get in that much trouble. She was trying to blow the whistle, and then, you know, it didn't come to light. Well, then I started thinking, well, why didn't it come to light, though? She got some benefits, and then it was like, okay, I don't care as much about where the, you know, this money didn't go to where it's supposed to go.
Well, I don't, and again, without interviewing her and knowing exactly what happened, obviously, Fecano or somebody in Fecano's office, said, hey, listen, we got you. You got us. Let's just kind of agree to we'll stop doing it, and in return for us stopping you misappropriating these funds and keeping your mouth shut, basically, is we're going to buy you off. So yes, that's indeed what happened. Should she be penalized for that? I just don't think she should.
Well, and in the news story we played before the break, isn't Wayne County basically saying, look, these are carefully watched funds, and we've made sure to cross our, to cross
well,
the T's and dot the
I's. Well, that's the hypocrisy of these two pieces, is that they kind of contradict each other.
Right. So they're not saying anything's wrong, and yet they're paying somebody off or, doing a settlement for
absolutely.
Somebody.
Absolutely. 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 You get it. You get it. No question. And again, we're going to just have to wait on the FBI. Don't know how long we're going to have to wait, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. Crazy, crazy stuff. Anyway, we're going to continue to keep our eye on what's happening in Wayne County. And we'll continue to bring you the information as we have it, good, bad, ugly, and all of the above. But we'll certainly keep an eye on it. I know there are a lot of people, Jeff, that are just ready for Bob Fecano to walk away. But that doesn't change anything. Him walking away doesn't change anything.
And, doesn't he seem like Teflon right now? It's hard.
Not to me, no. I think that this stuff's starting to stick. That's it. I think he was Teflon a year ago. Absolutely. Teflon Bob all the way. Now, not so much. Now, not so much. All right, a quick break for the top of the hour. Grant Bossy with Watchdog.org, previewing New Hampshire when we come back. Of course, Senator Gretchen Whitmer as well, and Occupy Detroit. We've got a busy 7 o'clock hour, as we always do. You'll want to stay tuned. Folks, if it's happening in Michigan, it happens first on First Shift. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking all right on the roads right now. We do have a slow spot, 96 to Jeffries eastbound as you approach that exit ramp to the Southfield Freeway. Traffic is backing up on that ramp to southbound Southfield. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, high near 44. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 31. And then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high once again in the lower to mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Mitt Romney and John Huntsman are sharing a symbolic win this morning in the tiny New Hampshire town of Dixville Notch. CNN's Greg Black says the statewide primary is just getting started.
There's little doubt about who's going to win New Hampshire's Republican primary. The question is how big Mitt Romney's win will be. CNN political analyst David Gergen says the former Massachusetts governor needs at least 30% of the vote just to meet expectations.
I think if he comes in less than 30, he gets hurt by the in the media interpretations. He's got to come in sort of in the mid-30s. I think then he'll have what would be called a major win.
The bigger question, though, is who will finish second. Ron Paul and John Huntsman are both hoping for a strong showing, with Huntsman making the Granite State his make-or-break primary. Greg Black, CNN.
Outgoing Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour pardoned four men convicted of murder in his final days in office. CNN's Martin Savage reports those pardons have outraged many people in the state where Barbour's always been popular.
He rose to prominence, of course, after Hurricane Katrina. And so many people thought, look at the great that he has done for the state of Mississippi. But now they're saying all of that is negated by what he's done in the last final moments of letting these four men free.
Amir Hekmati, an American sentenced to death in Iran for spying, has 20 days to appeal his case, according to Iranian law. A court spokesman says if he doesn't, then the sentence is final. His family and the U.S. government deny the charges against him. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad delivered a rare speech to parliament today, only a second since protests broke out in the country. He denies the government had anything to do with firing on civilians, and he says there will be elections by March. But CNN's Nick Robertson tells us this is not likely to change anything.
He hasn't said anything that I've heard that would convince the opposition that he really means to actually build a government of national unity.
College football's BCS champion is Alabama. The Tide beat Louisiana State last night 21-0. Alabama wins its second national championship in the past 3 years. This is CNN Radio.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over 1 million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
When I travel, I use WebEx for face-to-face meetings with clients online. We share documents and presentations, and they know, even though I'm not in the office, I'm always available to them. WebEx is awesome.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others, anytime, anywhere, on their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
Target mutual funds are off target again. Increasingly popular target funds adjust asset allocations the year you think you're going to retire approaches. It's designed mainly to reduce exposure to risky investments, but fund tracker Morningstar says in 2011, the funds with the nearest target retirement dates, 2015, greatly underperformed the S&P 500, which rose 2% including dividends. On average, those target funds actually lost almost 0.5% last year. A strong 2012 profit forecast from Alcoa is helping stock markets around the world, including here at home. Most markets in Asia advanced today. European markets up about 1% each. S&P futures up almost 1%, 11 points. NASDAQ futures up 20. Despite the fact Alcoa posted a fourth quarter loss, blaming falling aluminum prices. The company, though, is predicting strong increases in aluminum demand as global industries such as cars, airplanes, and infrastructure show signs of improvement. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over 1 million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
We thought a charging rhino would be an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax. But because our prices are small, marketing sent us a rhino the size of a chipmunk. He represents the tiny price you'll pay after saving 20% on everything you can fit in one OfficeMax shopping bag. It's a big deal, but our tiny rhino is charging the bag anyway. And he's out cold. Look for the OfficeMax shopping bag in Sunday's paper. Offer ends Saturday. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Hello?
How are those New Year's resolutions coming?
I'm eating cake, so...
How about a new resolution to save?
Announcing big savings at the Sears MLK event. Like up to 25% off all Kenmore appliances. Plus, save an extra 10% off all appliance brands $4.99 and up with your Sears card.
Now this is a resolution I can do.
You're still eating cake, aren't you?
No.
Think you know how to save? Think again. Sears, number one in appliances. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Kenmore savings range from 5 to 25%. Offer valid 113 through 117.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Excellent question. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this New Hampshire primary Tuesday morning. Again, as I shared with you last hour, you know, this is a significant and I think far more significant than the Iowa outcome. Is the New Hampshire primary. Primaries, of course, involve real people. There are no gimmicks. There are no tricks. It's an election is what it is. And people will be going to the polls in New Hampshire. And I think they if they open at 7, then they're open. But we'll find out from our next guest in just a moment. Keep in mind, at the bottom of the hour, State Senator Gretchen Whitmer will be with us as we discuss her op-ed in yesterday's Detroit Free Press about sexism in politics here in the state of Michigan. That really an amazing piece of work that she did. If you haven't seen it yet, I would suggest you go take a look at it. And then, of course, we will check in with Occupy Detroit at 7:50, as we do every single day. And let me turn my attention now to my next guest. Joining us now is Grant Bossy. Grant is currently the lead investigator for the Josiah Bartlett Center for Public Policy and editor of New Hampshire Watchdog.org. He has an extensive background in radio and television and in politics, and he joins us this morning from New Hampshire to talk about what is a very exciting day in presidential politics. And Grant, I want to thank you for taking some time to visit with us this morning.
Oh, happy to. Today's our day, and we all like to be ambassadors for the primary. I know some folks in Michigan sometimes think that maybe New Hampshire doesn't deserve the primary, and we'd like to show that we do a good job with it.
No, it's not that. Certainly, you do a very good job with it, and it's not. And there are just a lot of people that would just are envious of your position in line, if you will. We all like to think that we have more of a voice. And Grant, honestly, we part of the concern as our primary isn't until February 28th is that by the time it gets here, it won't matter. Of course, it does matter, but you understand what I mean by that, that it won't be as important as certainly today today in New Hampshire, the results of what's going on there today will be. With that being said, let's take a look. A lot of numbers being thrown around this morning, lots of polling. Tell us what's happening on the ground, Grant.
Well, right now is when the polling doesn't matter and the votes actually matter. It appears from what, all the polling says that Mitt Romney is going to have a fairly comfortable victory. But it is going to be a close battle for second between any one of four other candidates. And it's kind of exciting to see, what actually happens. And the pollsters aren't going to be telling us what's happening. We're actually going to be seeing our own votes once the polls close tonight. Starting at 7.
Well, one of the things that, of course, that we were talking about in our production meeting before the show today, Grant, was, we get to February 28th and that there's not much of a race left. One of the things that we will not get to participate in are all of the negative advertising. And as you know, because it was a part of both of the debates this weekend, the negative advertising was a topic. Obviously, if you were to turn on the TV right now, I'm sure it's wall-to-wall negative advertising. Have you ever seen, Grant, especially with Republicans, such a vitriol towards one another?
Oh, sure. That's an American tradition. It goes back hundreds of years. And I don't think the ads are particularly negative or particularly worse than they used to be. They're coming from, you know, the sweetness and apple pie pack instead of from the candidates themselves, and we don't have those ridiculous 3 seconds of I approve this message at the end. But other than that, it's, you know, it's the same thing. It's the, you know, the pixelated picture, the black and white, you know, sideways grimacy picture of it, and, you know, how can we trust Newt Gingrich? I think voters have tuned that out and know to make up their own mind. But negative ads have always been around. Negative ads work. I think they might be losing their effectiveness a little more, you know, in the age of DVRs when we just fast forward through all the commercials.
Well, there is something to be said for that. Again, my guest is Grant Bossy. He is with Watchdog.org in New Hampshire. Grant, let's talk for a minute about some of the individuals. And so Mitt Romney is the presumed front runner today. Again, we look at the polling numbers, and although we've seen his numbers go down significantly over the last week, he's comfortably ahead. But with regard to number two, which is really what the race is about today, John Huntsman's basic strategy was to throw everything he had into New Hampshire. If he doesn't score that number two spot today, do you think his candidacy is over?
I don't think it's necessarily over. I think that he needs a strong second or strong third. New Hampshire, it's not necessarily where you place. It's how people perceive where you place. Bill Clinton, when he won New Hampshire, didn't win. He came in a distant second with just 25% of the vote, but it was after the Jennifer Flowers and Paula Jones press conferences. His campaign was dead in the water, and he beat everybody that wasn't Paul Tsongas, and you know, as Bill Clinton was brilliant at doing, declared victory, and he called himself the comeback kid, kind of like making up your own nickname, and that narrative stuck, and people just got to perceive that, well, maybe this Bill Clinton guy can get some votes. And in politics, perception is reality. So if I think the only thing actually working against John Huntsman is he's gotten so much buzz in the last 24 hours about how well he's going to do that he goes from having really low expectations to higher expectations. So if he comes in, say, a distant third or 3 or 4 points behind Ron Paul, then people are going to say, boy, he really had a chance and didn't do it. Whereas a week ago, if he came in third, beat Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich, people would say, wow, great job. I don't know where he goes from here one way or another, because he doesn't have anything set up in South Carolina or Florida. But certainly you count on New Hampshire to boost your fundraising and name recognition nationally.
Okay, let's take a look at Iowa, of course, was a blessing for Rick Santorum. Not so, you know, and I don't think it's carried over. Again, if you look at the polling numbers, hasn't carried over terribly well in New Hampshire. How do you see Santorum doing today in New Hampshire?
I think Rick Santorum's probably going to be disappointed in his finish here, but New Hampshire is always where the Iowa winner goes to die. Mike Huckabee didn't play well here. Pat Robertson didn't play well here. Iowa generally goes to the most pro-union Democrat and the most pro-life Republican. It's a very insular, very base election where intensity of your support matters, because you're going into a gym and convincing your neighbors who to vote for, as opposed to going into a voting booth and voting for, you know, whoever you feel like in your heart. So there tends to be, you know, a clustering effect, at the edges. In Iowa, and you end up with candidates, because the electorate's very different than New Hampshire, very different candidates than the kind that can win in New Hampshire. New Hampshire's always been a better bellwether for how a candidate is going to do nationally than Iowa. Nothing against our friends in Iowa or Rick Santorum. It's just New Hampshire's electorate, as small as we are, is a much better sample of, say, the national mood than Iowa.
Well, and again, a primary to me is always preferential over a caucus, and it gives, I think you've characterized that perfectly, Grand Bossy. No question about it. Ron Paul continues to do staggeringly well. If we juxtapose this against all of the times he's run for the presidency, this one has done better than any of them.
Yeah, and he's got an interesting coalition. I wrote an article for the Concord Monitor a couple of months ago on Occupy New Hampshire. And Ron Paul, the libertarian Republican who wants to get rid of just about every federal agency, is getting a lot of support from the anti-war left. So he got 8% 4 years ago. He's built on that with additional Tea Party support that wasn't with him 4 years ago. But I'd say roughly half the Paul coalition is probably people who would never consider picking up a Republican ballot before. He's doing very well in the polling. I don't know if he'll match his polling, because I don't know if some of those supporters are actually Democrats that are going to show up and not be eligible to pick up a Republican ballot at the polls. I have no idea. That's idle speculation, but, I idly speculate for a living.
All right. Well, then let me ask you before we let you go today, idly speculate. Again, we're going to make the assumption Mitt Romney comes in number one. Give me Grant Bossy, your number two.
The wild guess, Huntsman and then Paul, both right around 20%.
All right. Well, it's a fairly well-educated wild guess, and we'll certainly know 24 hours from now. You know, maybe if we can get you back on for a few minutes. You will be back with us tomorrow. That's great.
I was just told.
Good, good. Well, I'm really fascinated by this particular primary. I think that New Hampshire's called it more than once. I believe that what is important for me as a Democrat, as a hardcore Democrat, I believe Mitt Romney's not going to do nearly as well as the numbers showed him just a week ago. And if he doesn't get better than 35%, I think that foretells pretty difficult things for him moving forward, to be honest with you, Grant.
He's been fairly consistently over 35%. And then coming out of Iowa, he peaked above 40%. But, yeah, he's been right around 35 for a year and a half, and it's pretty remarkable in a state that loves to beat down front runners. Romney staying out in front this long is actually a fairly remarkable political feat. We'll see if it plays out when we actually start counting votes.
Absolutely. Grant, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Enjoy the political fun today in New Hampshire, and we'll look forward to checking in with you tomorrow. A quick break, folks, and much more to get to on the other side. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Some slow traffic out there on I-94 westbound between 9 Mile and Maross. 96 to Jeffries eastbound. You get close to that Southfield Freeway exit. You're going to find some delays there. I'm Russ with traffic.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Introducing the newest member of the Prius family from Toyota. Prius V has the space of a small SUV, and with the available Entune multimedia system, you have access to apps like iHeartRadio, so you can listen to your favorite local stations anywhere. More Prius, more possibilities. The all-new Prius V, available at your local Toyota dealer. For more details, visit toyota.com/PriusV.
Obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road conditions. Data charges may apply. Apps and services may vary by phone and carrier. See toyota.com/Entune for details.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is State Representative Harvey Santana.
Welfare was never intended to become a lifestyle. Are there abuses? Absolutely. But my question to the other side was, if you know where the abuses are, then why aren't we talking about that? Why are we talking about cutting people off so callously? I mean, there was never even a lead-in time. It was October 1st, that's it, you're caught off.
First Shift. On 1310 WDTW.
That's not the next cold front. That's top-rated heating and air conditioning equipment blowing out of our warehouse during Service Expert's huge winter clearance sale. Save big on brand-new, high-efficiency equipment. Air conditioners as low as $27 per month. Furnaces from $39 per month. Call Service Expert's Heating and Air Conditioning at 866-EXPERTS. That's 866-EXPERTS, also known as Bryant Heating and Cooling Service Experts. Hurry, sale ends February 29th. Visit serviceexperts.ca for finance details.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Hello, what's up? Diggity doll.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock. We're going to be open lines at the bottom of the hour, and then it is wall-to-wall. For probably the rest of the show. So feel free to ring us up, 888-552-3595. Jeff, as you know, I took our new addition, Vinny the dog, to the vet yesterday, and everybody there fell in love with him.
Oh, well, of course they did.
He's just a little lover boy, that guy.
He steals hearts.
He does. You have not met him yet. I haven't even seen a picture. I got
to
get a picture.
I'd like to keep my heart, so I don't know. It's dangerous to meet a guy like that.
Well, let's not get too weird on me. Please, not that weird. But he is a little lover boy, I tell you. That little guy is he's got me wrapped. There's no question. Although I got to tell you, it is kind of, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but it's kind of added to the burden of my day because I, you know, got to make sure that he gets outside for his, you know, breaks, you know, however many times throughout the day. And then, you know, he's not totally housebroken yet, so I got to keep an eye on him so that he doesn't, you know, make a mess in the house. And so it's added a little bit to my day, to be honest with you.
But you love it.
Well, not really. I don't love that part of it. I mean, I love him. There's no question I love him.
Well, he goes along with it. Or that goes along with him.
Yeah, it does go along with him. I mean, you know, part of the responsibility. But even last night, my wife had to work late. And so after we had dinner, you know, he and I kind of hung out in the basement for a while. And then, of course, as soon as my wife got home, he dumped me like a hot rock and ran to her. And that was the end of that.
Oh, so he does have a favorite then.
You know, I think the favorite is whoever comes in the house next, because had Anthony been next. And Anthony will tell you, yesterday when Anthony came home, he went running to him. So it is what it is. By the way, Anthony, thank you for the compliment on the... I made beef stew last night, and Anthony said it was excellent. So thank you for that, son. Appreciate it.
He's busy. He's got stuff to do over here.
Whatever. Anyway, 888-552-3595. I was going to briefly tell you that I took him to the vet yesterday, and basically he's fine. He had some blood work done, and they got to take a look at some stuff. But, you know, we just got him, and we rescued him, so we just want to make sure that everything's on the up and up, and so we'll get some of the results today. But they just loved him there. Everybody that worked there had to come in and see him. At one point or another, everybody stopped by to spend a few seconds with Vinny the dog.
Vinny Truppiano.
Little Vinny Truppiano. That's funny, because when you go to the vet, you know, that's the way they do it. They ask you, okay, what's the last name? You give them your last name. What's your dog's name? And you're sitting in the waiting room, and all of a sudden you say, okay, Vinny Truppiano. And it's like, sweet God, really? Really? But, yeah, that's the way they do it, as you know. I don't know if you've ever taken, although your mom and dad got the dog to replace you, did they not?
That's how it goes down, right?
For the grandchild that you're not giving them yet?
Yeah, that's the story.
And what's the dog's name at mom and dad's?
Roxy.
Roxy, all right.
Roxy Radford.
Roxy Radford. Well, you know, Vinny's been clipped, so I was going to suggest maybe we get the two of them together. But I don't even know what kind of dog Roxy is. What kind of dog is Roxy?
A schnoodle.
A schnoodle. So kind of small, mid-size? What's a schnoodle?
She's, what, 23 pounds?
Oh, she beat the living hell out of Vinny. Vinny's all of 5 pounds.
Yeah, but Vinny's a scrapper.
Yeah, Vinny's a scrapper. Cute little guy, that's for sure. I'll get somebody to ask me to put a picture of him up on the Facebook page, and I will do that. I promise. I'll get a picture of Vinny today and get him up there. But so, yes, we took him to the vet and had his checkup and all things being equal. He has a little ear infection, so I got to clean his ears out every day. So that's my little task for the day, every day. So we'll see how that goes. Of course, when you're actually at the vet and they're showing you how to do it, and they let me do it so that I knew how to do it, it's easy when you're there. We'll see how easy it is when I go to do it today. We'll absolutely see how easy it is today. All right, we mentioned New Hampshire. Let me get to I wanted to get to at least one piece of audio before we got to the bottom of the hour break. They're running a commercial. MoveOn.org is running a commercial in New Hampshire on Bain Capital, which is the company that Mitt Romney owned with his partners. In this ad, which runs almost a minute, a little over a minute and a half, they talk about what Bain Capital has done in Kansas City.
I worked in this plant 32 years as a steel worker.
I spent 34 years in a steel mill.
Bain Capital came in with Mitt Romney and his cronies and shut the place down.
They walked out of here with millions. They left us with nothing.
This community's never been the same, never going to be the same. Thousands of jobs lost. I don't see where he's creating anybody's jobs.
Tell you he wants to come in and help this country, he'll raid this country just like he did this company. That's what he does.
Pat worked in the rigging crew. Basically, he would either be up there helping me rig the equipment, running the truck. You just knew that he had your back, and that's how we met.
The work we did was dangerous, dirty, hot, whatever you want to call it, but it was professional. When we lost my job, actually, it wasn't a surprise. And Romney had been in there for about 6 years, and if you were watching what was going on, it was obvious that we were going down.
Things just tore a lot of families apart. I mean, I know four or five guys that went through, had been married over 30 years, that it destroyed their families.
It is my firm belief that what Mitt Romney and Bain Capital did to Kansas City will never be recovered. He'll part the country out just like he did the steel mill.
I mean, if you want a guy basically going to hammer the working man, well, he's the guy for it. I mean, if you want somebody to just pound the working class Americans in the ground, I think he's the guy.
I know what he says. I also know what happened. He may be able to create jobs, but I don't think too many more in the United States.
Mitt Romney doesn't care about American jobs anymore or anything else. It's all about the money for him. I mean, he made a bunch of money shutting that place down, chunking it out.
Jeff's favorite line you'll create jobs. You just don't know if they're going to be in the United States. Jeff loved that one.
Well, yeah, because that's the talking points. People who defend Romney say, well, net gain in jobs, which, I don't know how you defend, but, if it is in a different country, how does that help us?
He has a lot of problems, and if we have time a little bit later, former presidential candidate and the governor of Minnesota, Tim Pawlenty, who is on the Romney campaign now, is supporting the Romney campaign, talks about these Democratic talking points that Republicans are using. That's all, this is politics, dude, so everything is fair game here. It just happens to be true. So it doesn't matter that the Democrats are using these talking points and now the Republicans are co-opting them. They happen to be true. I don't know that I think Mitt Romney has a serious electability issue. And once we get to know him, as the electorate really gets to know him, as they are in some of these states, you know, that's why we're seeing is he didn't do as well in Iowa as he should have. Although he largely ignored Iowa until the last 2 weeks, but that's where having a lot of money comes in. He should be doing, and the point I was making with Grant Bossy in the last segment is he really should be doing better in, he should be doing better in New Hampshire than he is. Even though Grant characterized it one way, I'm leaning the other way. When we come back, State Senator Gretchen Whitmer will join us. She did a great commentary in yesterday's Free Press titled Blatant Sexism Overtakes Respect and Decency in the State Legislature. We've got her live. We'll get to that right after we do this.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Looking at some delays in 94 westbound between 9 Mile and Maross. M53 southbound between 23 Mile Road and Van Dyke. You're going to find some slow traffic in pockets there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 44. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 31. And then Wednesday, partly sunny, a high near 44 once again. Right now, it's fair and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Indiana's GOP-controlled legislature is holding a hearing on the proposed anti-union so-called right-to-work bill today. Despite being outgunned by big Republican majorities, the Indiana AFL-CIO's Jeff Harris says there's a fighting chance of defeating the bill. Harris says it's unpopular with Hoosiers, including some Republicans.
Right now, we have a surprising number of allies on the Republican side who either are vehemently opposed to the concept of right to work or don't like the strong arm tactics that the leadership is using to pass this bill. So we are still very hopeful, cautiously optimistic about our chances to defeat this bill.
Thousands of Indiana citizens opposed to the right to work bill have protested at the state capitol. For the first time since 2009, federal employees could see a small pay raise in 2013. Jesse Russell reports.
President Barack Obama is proposing a 0.5% pay increase for federal employees in his 2013 budget. Republican proposals have called for a one-year extension on a freeze for federal worker pay increases. During the recent pay freeze, workers have continued to receive within-grade step increases, but some of the proposals from Republicans even call for an end to those pay increases. Even if Obama's proposal makes it through the House of Representatives, it is much less than the increase in private sector earnings, which increased by 2% in 2011.
A financial transaction tax is the first step in healing America. Sign our petition at protestintheusa.org.
National Nurses United is pressing for a financial transactions tax on Wall Street as a concrete way to help heal our economy. The Nurses Union says a new report from University of Amherst economists Robert Polin and James Heinz shows that a robust tax on Wall Street transactions would generate significant revenue. National Nurses United says with so many Americans still struggling to recover from the Wall Street Great Recession of 2008, we need a meaningful way to heal our nation. The union says a small tax on major financial trading, which is currently untaxed, is a critical first step. An anti-union group's class action lawsuit attacking the ability of unions to finance political battles is scheduled to be heard today by the U.S. Supreme Court. The suit, filed by the National Right to Work Foundation, was filed after SEIU used a special assessment in 2005 to raise money from SEIU members to fight anti-union California ballot proposals. The suit is part of an ongoing national campaign to destroy the political power of workers and their unions by trying to cut off the money needed for workers to effectively fight political attacks. Oral arguments in the case are being heard today by the U.S. Supreme Court. This newscast was made possible in part by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock, and let me go right to my guest, as we have been promoting all morning. Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who is the minority leader in the state Senate, wrote a masterfully written piece, commentary in the Detroit Free Press yesterday that is getting tension nationally. Because it says something that, like she has done so many times throughout her leadership in the Senate, speaks to truth to power. And she has this uncommon way of doing it in a way that really grabs all of us. So let me welcome back to this to First Shift Senator Gretchen Whitmer. And Senator, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for taking some time to be with us this morning.
Thanks. Happy New Year, Tony.
Now, I gotta tell you, as I read this and I read the reaction, there's been a national reaction to this piece. It seems to me that once again, as what most recently happened with the anti-bullying legislation, you seem to have this way of being able to capture a message when it needs to be captured in a way that grabs people's attention in a responsible way. Let me add that, because I think it's important. Why did you decide, Senator Whitmer, that it was time to come out and talk about this rampant sexism that's happening in the state legislature right now?
Well, first, let me tell you, I appreciate your assessment of what's going on here, because, you know, this, like the bullying fight, was not something that involved me directly. But when you see this type of behavior, I think it's incumbent on anyone as a top elective official, especially me, you know, on this issue as the top woman in, you know, the legislature, to say this is beyond the pale. And, you know, I knew when I stood up and called it out that there would be a backlash, but, you know, I'm raising two little girls in my household, my daughters. I'm trying to ensure that they're strong, confident, substantive, you know, young women in training. And when I tell them this type of behavior would be unacceptable at school, it sure as heck is unacceptable at the highest levels of our government.
Well, no question that's true. And in fact, you opened the commentary that you wrote by talking about speaking to different groups, from Girl Scouts to graduates, you write, to fellow female attorneys and aspiring politicians. And I guess at some level, this has to be about an honest discourse. If you're really going to be honest about speaking to these groups and empowering other women, you can't be hypocritical in your assessment, can you?
No, and, you know, I'd hate for anyone to brush this off as, you know, typical political banter, or that it's a political issue between two parties. It's a problem with regard to how women are treated. And for 12 years I've been in the legislature, and it seems to have gotten worse in that time. And I don't know if it's term limits, or it's the lack of women in the legislature, or it's just this kind of Twitter mentality that you can say anything and not be held accountable, but it's not right. And we need to stand up and make sure that our officials, at least, are being held accountable, because our behavior kind of sets the mores, and we've got to ensure that women are respected in this process just the same way as men, and that they are judged by the substance of what they say, as opposed to, you know, baseless character attacks. It doesn't serve anyone well.
You know, and this reminded me as I was reading this, because you mentioned former Governor Jennifer Granholm in this commentary piece that you wrote. And I remember clearly a verbal a jousting match between myself, Craig DeRoche, and Ken Sikkema some years back at the Michigan the Mackinac Policy Conference, where they were referring to her as Jenny, and I just happened to be standing 2 feet away from them, so I was clearly overhearing. And Craig DeRoche is a narcissist and loves to hear his name, and he loves to say his name, and he was being very verbose and very loud, and you know, talking about this verbal match between he and Sikkema and the governor in her office, and he was sitting on her couch, and he was going on, and it was so disrespectful. I finally turned to him. And I said, all right, you know what? You have a right to say anything you want to say, but stop calling her Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just really irritated me. I mean, it really did. And, you know, and I, of course, I can't really get into the nuts and bolts of what they were saying because it was just horrible. But, you know, it is a matter of respect. We don't, you know, go around calling Governor Snyder Ricky.
Right. Well, I think that's a great point. And I think that's kind of what we saw happen during, you know, her time as governor. We all had been very hopeful that it would create this mutual respect and show that, you know, we need to treat women the same as men. I mean, we all talk about it, and I think we all honestly want to believe that's how we conduct ourselves. But when you see the discrepancy in the treatment at the highest levels of government, you know that we've not taken as many steps forward as we need to, and this is an opportunity to call it out and to try to move the ball forward. Because I think every one of us who's raising girls, every one of us who was raised by a strong woman, knows that you know what, we've got to do better, and we can do better, and this is that chance to move forward.
Well, absolutely. Now, you had said that this isn't, you know, this again wasn't about you, and so let's talk about, you know, what happened. State Senator Rick Jones, who has had his fair share of problems of late with what comes out of his mouth, once again called a female professional who is widely respected the state over, called her a hooker.
Yep, that's right. That's what happened. And, you know, it was one of those phrases that you know is gender-based that is attacking her character as opposed to the substance of what she says and you know, used to degrade her as a person as opposed to any ideas or arguments that, you know, are being made or bantied about. And I think that that's just so far beyond the pale that it was important to stand up and say that's unacceptable.
Well, it is unacceptable. There's no question that that's true. And whether or not or how severely he will be rebuked for this is, of course, up to the leadership, but it does need to be addressed. We are going to take a call. Again, my guest is State Senator Gretchen Whitmer, and let's welcome Mike in Westland to First Shift. Mike, welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Tony, Senator. I tell you, I think that, you know, her description of the sexism, I think it can be extended even further, you know, on gender, where, you know, I have two sons at home, and I'm a European American male, and my sons are constantly being subjected to stuff coming out of certain people's parties saying, hey, the white male has had their run, it's time for them to step aside and take a back seat and realize that it's time for others to be able to have those positions of power. And I don't think that's fair to my two sons.
Well, I you know, and Mike, thanks for the call. Certainly that would, I think, probably tend to be more to racism. But I think he does make a point. You know, we don't just, Senator, need to be raising, you know, young women or young girls and young women to be strong role models. We should also be doing that with young men.
No question. And any attack based on someone's, you know, physical characteristics, whether it's their gender or the skin color or their religious characteristic, any attack like that is aimed at, you know, undermining the substance of what we really should be talking about. And it's unacceptable any way you cut it, whether it's attack on white men or attack on girls and women. It's something that is unacceptable, and we need to set a higher standard and insist on it, especially from our top elected officials.
Well, it does make me wonder. You had, and I'm just going to take it a step further. You had suggested that, you know, the women, in especially in politics, we've seen the numbers decrease quite significantly over the last 5 years. And maybe it is term limits. I'm going to suggest at some level it may just be that women are wising up to the reality that they don't have to put themselves through this, that, you know, the way you are treated, the way others are treated is not necessarily something that I'm going to choose to do. Putting myself out there, running for office, and all that comes with it. And again, we've talked on this show and most recently about the difficulty it takes to get elected. Why would you do that if you're only going to turn around and be disrespected by those you serve with?
Well, there's no question that that's got a chilling effect for enthusiasm on running for office. You know, I've dealt with it for 12 years. I've got thick skin. But I think that when something like this is so blatant, we can't let it go unchallenged. No matter how thick your skin is, no matter how much you want to just not get mired into an argument like this, because I don't enjoy this by any stretch. This is an embarrassing moment for all of us. But it's one of those times that you've got to stand up and say it's unacceptable. And that's what I'm doing here. I know that there's a backlash to any time you stand up on an issue like this. But the fact of the matter is that women, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent or nonpartisan, you know, we need to stand up and say this kind of behavior is unacceptable.
Well, you know, it seems to me, again, and I go back to the piece and that she wrote that appeared in the Free Press, and there's so much of it that rings true. And I guess part of it, Senator, I say to myself, really, is it really the year 2012? Are we really having this conversation at a time where we should be tackling issues that matter, where we should be talking about creating legislation that provides jobs, and really what we're doing is just trying to get through this, holding our nose and hoping that the stench doesn't get too bad, and whether it's fair or not, it's the truth. And how sad is that? I mean, it's so sad that we have to find ourselves having this discussion today.
Yep, it's odious, because you know we should be talking about other issues, issues that are women issues and men issues about jobs and making our economy strong again in Michigan and educating our kids. Those are the types of women issues and men issues that we really need to be focusing on, not this type of backward name-calling. But, you know, the fact of the matter is when this happens, you still got to pause and stand up and say it's wrong and then try to move forward talking about substantive issues.
Well, thank you for your leadership again, as always. I appreciate you and everything that you do, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again very soon, Senator.
Me too. Thanks, Tony.
You bet. Senator Gretchen Whitmer. We'll take a quick break. Destiny Turnbow with us from Occupy Detroit when First Shift continues. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
You're calling Mitt Romney a liar.
Well, you seem shocked by it, yes. This is a man whose staff created the PAC. His millionaire friends fund the PAC. He pretends he has nothing to do with the PAC. It's baloney. He's not telling the American people the truth.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-9671.
2722.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back indeed. It is 7:50. That means only one thing. It is time for Occupy Detroit to occupy First Shift. We've been doing this now for, I don't know, a couple months. It's a nice partnership, I will say that. Joining us now, as she has in the past, is Destiny Turnbow. We haven't had a chance to talk to Destiny in the new year yet, so let me first of all, Destiny, wish you a happy new year.
Thank you. Happy new year to you, too.
Where do you get all this energy?
I guess it just comes from above. Wake up and ready to go.
I'm telling you.
That's going on, so.
Destiny, you know, yeah, you and I are friends on Facebook. I see you, and I see you posting all times of the day or night. You get on this show at 7:50 in the morning, and you got just as much energy now as you do it at 1 o'clock in the morning. I just don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it.
I guess it's just a lot of young energy.
There you go. Well, I appreciate that young energy. And you're here today to talk to us about the Freedom Day rally. What's that all about, Destiny?
The Freedom Day rally is a march and prayer vigil against Public Act 4, which is Public Act 4 is basically the emergency dictator law. I'm sure you've heard so much about it. Occupy Detroit has recently just really got involved in it because we believe it's the most undemocratic law that's ever been up for, you know, something that's coming up that's actually going to be turned into a law. So, like I said, it's a march and a prayer vigil. We're going to meet at Grand Circus Park and then march to the Spirit of Detroit building right down on Woodward and hold the prayer vigil there.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, it's important for people that, you know, and we need to start getting people re-engaged again. And it's not that we don't have people engaged, Destiny. I don't want to paint it that way. But we need to start getting people more involved. And so just because we're not at Grand Circus Park anymore, you know, doesn't mean that, you know, we need to continue to keep this thing moving and growing. And so we want to encourage people to show up, you know, and the best way to do that, folks, is just to decide that you want to make a difference. Right, Destiny?
Totally. There's so many different ways that you can get involved and make a difference. There is a General Assembly tonight at 1515 Broadway. When you go there, you can come on out and find out ways you can get involved in different working groups. There's always issue. I mean, this is the city of Detroit, and it seems like there's always something that we have to fight for. This issue right here is really hot, the Public Act 4. If this emergency manager comes in, he has the power to fire elected officials, to seize and sell assets that are owned by the city, lay off thousands of public employees, teachers, police, and firefighters. It is nothing but a power grab by Lansing politicians. This person that comes in, it has nothing to do with balancing budgets or anything. And we've already seen it happen in Benton Harbor, Flint, and other cities, and it has nothing to do with trying to balance budgets or trying to make things work for a city. It's all about power grab, and I truly do believe that if democracy fails here in Michigan, it fails all over the country and pretty much for the rest of the world. So it's really up to us to stand up against this.
Yeah, you know, Destiny, we've spent a lot of time, and for those that are listening to the show every day, we've spent a lot of time talking about Public Act 4 or the Emergency Manager Law. And there's a reason that we spend so much time on that, because our very democracy is dependent on us beating this back. And so let me just say, again, for the people at Michigan Forward who have worked so hard, nonstop, tirelessly for the repeal of this, to remind people we still need volunteers. to show up. If they just go to michiganforward.org, you can get all the information right there. They still need people to show up and volunteer to certify signatures. They still need people to go out and collect signatures. So there's still work to do. And I want to remind people, Destiny, once we are able to certify enough signatures, we stop this law in its tracks. It reverts back to the old law. And at least the dictatorial powers of Public Act 4 immediately disappear. Immediately disappear.
Right. That's really something important to note. And another thing that we're going to focus on in this rally, we're having a couple speakers, but we're going to focus on the solutions to this problem. I think a lot of people, like you said, you talked a lot about, you know, how bad Public Act 4 is for Detroit and for the other cities that it's already passed in. But we're really going to focus on different solutions. I've heard people talk about, you know, the state of Michigan owes Detroit money. I've heard people talk about different ways that the city council is looking at our budget to figure out ways that they can cut it so that that would not have to happen, and different solutions to this problem, because we do have to start thinking about, okay, what happens next after we collect enough signatures? What's the next step? So that's something I think that's very important, too.
Yeah, there's no question. Again, and it's important to continue to have the dialogue and to give people access and an opportunity to talk about this, and again to show up. So let's, again, just go over what's coming up and what we want people to do.
Yeah, the Freedom Day Detroit March and Prayer Vigil against Public Act 4 will be Thursday, January 12th, from 4 to 6 p.m. We're going to meet at Grand Circus Park at the Pingree statue. We'll rally there for a few minutes. Bring your signs. We want signs about Public Act 4 and how horrible it is for Detroit and other cities that it's already passed in. Then we're going to march from the Spirit of Detroit building and have our prayer vigils there.
All right, folks. Doesn't get any
Thursday from 4 to 6.
Doesn't get any easier than that. Just show up and continue to support it. Destiny, I want to, as always, want to thank you for giving us of your time, and of course, we're going to continue to brand 750 every day as Occupy Detroit time on First Shift. And thanks again for your time, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
All right, Destiny Turnbow again with Occupy Detroit. Jeff, I got to tell you, I just received an email, and I ended that interview a little early on purpose. Just received an email from Chris Savage at a collective blog, and it seems that a conservative blogger has decided to strike back against Senator Gretchen Whitmer, and he's now calling her a government hooker.
I see.
Yes.
Interesting.
And I want to thank Chris Savage from Eclecta Blog for getting this to me so quickly, and he actually wrote about it right away. But the conservative blogger's name is Greg McNeely, and he says, actually, I do think Gretchen Whitmer is a government hooker, just to be clear. He tweeted that. I mean, Dianis, how disrespectful do they have to be? I mean, that's the part I don't get. How disrespectful, you know, it'd be one thing, you know, this is politics. People are going to be name-calling, but this isn't about name-calling. It's about fundamental rights, fundamental respect. It's problematic at so many different levels. And here we have, you know, the Senate Minority Leader, Gretchen Whitmer, standing up, and not just for women, for all people. It just happens to come in the form of sexism on this particular occasion. But to ever stand up, rightfully so, and then to be slapped down like this in such a disrespectful manner is just so wrong. It is just so wrong. All right, we've got to take a break for the top of the hour. I am Tony Truppiano, by the way. Chris Mihalakis will be up next, and looking forward to Chris, first time in the new year. So everybody stay where they're at, and we will continue with First Shift after we take this quick break.
And WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some delays on 75 southbound between 14 mile down through 8 mile, 696 westbound between Mound and 75. That is backed up as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high in the mid-40s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 31. And then tomorrow, partly sunny once again, a high near 44. Right now, it's fair and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Reading the news this hour, pollsters think Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney is the hands-down favorite to win today's New Hampshire primary. So the big question now is who comes in second to possibly offer Romney a challenge in South Carolina's primary later this month. CNN's Steve Kastenbaum joins us live from Manchester, New Hampshire. Steve?
Well, Jim, well, Ron Paul continues to poll high in the daily tracking poll of people likely to vote today, but former Utah Governor John Huntsman has seen his numbers rise over the past few days. His campaign says that's because he's gone all out here to meet the voters face-to-face, and it's not only Huntsman, but his entire family that has gotten into the act. His daughters have been seen on all of the television networks and at events across the state. Now, the final polls show Ron Paul and John Huntsman separated by just 2 percentage points today. Both men need a strong showing as they head into South Carolina, where social conservative Rick Santorum is expected to do better than here in New Hampshire. Jim?
That's CNN Steve Kastenbaum in New Hampshire. Outgoing Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour pardoned 4 men convicted of murder in his final days in office. CNN's Martin Savage reports the victims' families are stunned.
The injury, the salt that's rubbed in the wounds for the families, is the fact that this is done on the quiet. They don't learn about these pardons. There was no way for them to intercede. There was no way for them to argue to a parole board. Instead, these men are set free, and they hear about it only after they are out of prison.
Syrian President Bashar al-Assad says his government had nothing to do with all the deaths in his country. He blames the violence on what he calls external conspiracies. Alabama beat LSU 21-0 in the BCS championship last night in New Orleans. Alabama posted the first shutout in the 14-year history of the BCS. Head coach Nick Saban said Alabama's earlier season loss to LSU helped his team get ready for this game.
It was tougher losing a game. And I think that demonstrates the character of the people in that locker room to come back from that game and finish the season like they did.
Alabama wins its second national championship in the past 3 years. This is CNN Radio.
We're all resolving to run our lives a little better. Why not start with making sure our vehicles run better, too?
The seasons have taken a toll on your car and your car battery. A Sears Auto Center featuring diehard batteries is here to help. Come in today and ask about a free battery check so you don't have to worry about getting stuck with a dead battery. Plus, save on all Michelin tires and get a $70 Sears Award card instantly when you buy 4. So you can add another resolution to your list, saving some money. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. Sears Auto Center. While card quantities last, in-store only, ends 1/28. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Probiotics keep your digestion on the right track.
Give your gut the gift of microflora.
Isn't it time you gave back to your colon?
Looking to take a probiotic but not sure which to choose? Then try new ProNutrients Probiotic from the makers of Centrum. Containing two of the most studied probiotics, its dual-action formula supports digestive balance and healthy immune function. ProNutrients Probiotic, one of a new line of supplements that works with your multivitamin. New ProNutrients from Centrum helps make nutrition possible.
The annual dirtiest motels in the world list is no more. After several years of issuing the Mr. Blackwell of gross accommodations, TripAdvisor says it has abandoned its dirtiest hotels list, telling the New York Times it wants to stay more on the positive side. So no more descriptions such as, if hell had a hotel, it would be something like this, or dust so thick we could have knitted our own blanket. Stock markets in Asia and Europe have pushed higher today following the first report of earnings reporting season here in the U.S., Alcoa posting a loss for the fourth quarter as falling aluminum prices erase the benefit of more aluminum sold. But the company is predicting a rebound in prices as demand is expected to strengthen more thanks to a slowly improving global industrial outlook. U.S. stock futures looking strong so far. S&P futures up 1% now, 13 points. NASDAQ futures rising 21. Dow futures tacking on more than 100 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Congratulations, the job is yours. It felt good to say those words when I hired my first employee, but it was soon followed by, how does a single paycheck generate a mountain of paperwork? Then Lyle, my accountant, said, let's just get Intuit Payroll. It'll make both our lives easier. So I got Intuit Payroll, and now I pay my employees and file tax forms in just a few minutes. And Lyle says things like, you are the payroll queen.
Get a 30-day free trial and learn why over a million small businesses use Intuit Payroll at payroll.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at ibm.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
We thought a charging rhino would be an impressive metaphor for the big deals at OfficeMax. But because our prices are small, marketing sent us a rhino the size of a chipmunk. He represents the tiny price you'll pay after saving 20% on everything you can fit in one OfficeMax shopping bag. It's a big deal, but our tiny rhino is charging the bag anyway. And he's out cold. Look for the OfficeMax shopping bag in Sunday's paper. Offer ends Saturday. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Hello?
How are those New Year's resolutions coming?
I'm eating cake, so...
How about a new resolution to save?
Announcing big savings at the Sears MLK event. Like up to 25% off all Kenmore appliances. Plus, save an extra 10% off all appliance brands $4.99 and up with your Sears card.
Now this is a resolution I can do.
You're still eating cake, aren't you?
No.
Think you know how to save? Think again. Sears, number one in appliances. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Kenmore savings range from 5 to 25%. Offer valid 113 through 117.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is that community. It is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano. So all that happens to be in the true category. I want to welcome everybody back 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this January 10th, 2012 program. Very excited with our guest this hour. He was still off on vacation last week, so we're excited to have him back. We have a lot to get to. As we work our way through the hour today, I do want to remind you, you're always welcome, folks, to join us. If you have a question or comment, just make it topical to the guest, and we're good to go. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, tony@thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Guys, give me my intro and let's get going.
First Shift honors our political and legislative director from the United Food and Commercial Workers Union.
I've been working in politics for years.
And let me tell you what the Republicans think. The Republicans think the problem with our economy is that you, the listener, have it too good. They want to lower your wages. They want to weaken your collective bargaining rights if you're fortunate enough to have them.
Here is Chris Mialakis.
And here is Chris Mialakis. Happy New Year, my brother. Great
Happy
to have
year.
You. You like that, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I wonder what Roger Robinson, my boss, president of UFCW 876, is thinking now. You know, he was making some jabs at my intro last
week. Yes,
month,
the Queen of England is, I believe, what he called you. Not that you needed to be reminded of that.
Right. That's right.
By the way, before we get started, and I mentioned this yesterday, and I don't have the press release with me, but congratulations on picking up another... another shop, the VPH or VHP Pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, it's a pharmaceutical company up in Flint.
Schwartz Creek?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, I mentioned it on the show yesterday. I loved that story. And what was amazing to me is, and God bless Krista Sturgis for doing 90 yeah. days, 90 yeah. days from, you know, concept to completion. God bless her.
Yeah, she really, she did a fantastic job. She's got a great team over there. And, you know, we're all very excited.
Yeah, we got. Just congratulations again to the UFCW. Yeah. And, man, here we are, 2012, Chris. It's primary today. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show today. But certainly, for political wonks like you, this is the Super Bowl, the presidential year. Yeah. Presidential years are a little bit special for those of us in politics.
Yeah, you know, it's a very special year. You know, it seems like, Tony, every 2 years, every 4 years, this is the most important election of our lives, and it's no different this year. We gotta work very hard to get Obama reelected, and the Republicans are making it really, really, really easy. I shouldn't say easy, but they're definitely helping us out a lot by beating each other up as much as they are. I am a little upset though that Jimmy McMillan, Republican candidate for president, who your listeners might know as the Rent Is Too Damn High party. Yeah, he's running as a Republican, and unfortunately, he hasn't picked up any delegates yet.
Were you disappointed that he's running as a Republican? Did you want him to run as a Democrat?
No. I'm disappointed that he didn't do well in the Iowa caucus and isn't polling very well.
Well, you know, there's always, this is first time. So like every other candidate, sometimes, it'll take a couple cycles before you get Ronald Reagan ran for president a few times before he finally won. Yeah. So,
Mitt Romney runs every time. Ron Paul runs every time.
I think this is what Mitt Romney's third run for the presidency,
something like that. Yeah.
So he's still getting a solid 20-something percent of the electorate. I got to tell you, he's really done well.
Yeah, but what I'm worried about is this could all be over in South Carolina. If Romney wins South Carolina, that's it. But
we'll come back to that. I want to get to our agenda because we do need to have that discussion a little bit later on. And we have been talking about, will Michigan be relevant in February?
Right.
Chances are at this point, no, but we'll come back and talk about that. What's on your mind as we start this new year?
Well, it's funny, Tony, when I was, thinking about what I was going to talk about last week, I actually thought about this in Costa Rica briefly for like 1 minute.
Thank you. No, don't lie to me, Chris.
No, seriously, I did. One thing, there's a couple themes that that tend to come up whenever I come on your show. One is obviously, as the intro so well stated, that Republicans think that the common worker, you have it too good, and that the path to prosperity is for you to make more sacrifices. That's one common theme. The other is this whole theme of supply side economics and passing economic policies that, while they would never say it, increase our unemployment and lower our wages. And the reason for that I hope everyone in the audience can understand here, is that labor is just like any good or service. It's bought and sold on a market. And so when things are bought and sold on a market, they're subject to the same laws of supply and demand as anything else that's bought and sold on a market. So if you look at if you read between the lines of a lot of different things that Republicans push for, whether through law or on the campaign trail during their stump speeches, they are knowingly, I think, because most of them are pretty smart people, advocating for policies that purposely will bring down your wages, i.e., the cost of labor, while at the same time increasing the supply of labor, which only adds to unemployment. And let me give you a few examples of this. Actually, the reason why I thought of this now is Mitt Romney. I heard him the other day talk about how he wanted to increase the retirement age. And a lot of Republicans are saying that, And of course, they're saying if you're already retired, we're not going to touch you, but it's future generations. You're going to have to retire later. And we've talked about this before a little bit, but anytime a Republican says that you're going to decrease Social Security benefits or increase the retirement age, what they're talking about is being in the labor force longer and retiring later, right?
Right.
And so what that does is when the federal government makes the decision, the moral decision to fund, Social Security less and other programs more, whether it's tax cuts for the rich or another war or defense spending or whatever, what that trans, the way that trickles down to us, is a higher unemployment rate, because now there's more people working and there's more competition for the limited number of jobs that are out there. And so anytime a Republican or anybody, Republican or Democrat, says, you know, we got to increase our retirement age, we have to understand what they're really talking about is increasing the supply of labor. And when you increase the supply while demand stays steady, what's that do to wages? The price of labor drops, which, and the price of labor is the wages that we make an hour.
You know, we the first time we had this conversation, and I think that because you laid it out so simply, and I mean that as a compliment, by the way, you know, that when we take a look at somebody that, let's say, instead of retiring at the age of 65, retires at the age of 68,
right?
That job for that 3-year period of time doesn't go to somebody else in the younger,
right,
in the labor market. What's to me fascinating about this conversation is, we know that, and I don't know what the current statistics are. I used to know this stuff off the top of my head, and I don't anymore. And I should probably get, especially now that we're back in election cycle. But we need to create so many jobs every month.
Right.
But that's to take care of those that are entering for the first time the labor market, the younger people.
Mm-hmm.
By delaying or by increasing that retirement age, we delay how many people we can again introduce to the labor market.
Right.
And we are seeing, I mean, we're literally seeing that happen, not just in the state of Michigan, but nationally. Right now, although we created 200,000 jobs last month, we know that some of those were temporary seasonal jobs.
Right.
So it was kind of hard to get excited about that number. It looked like a great number, and it does look like a great number. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is the conversation that we really should be having politically.
Yeah.
Is what are we doing to create jobs? Now, the president has talked about creating jobs for high school kids, but that's different than what even we're talking about.
Yeah. You know, when you're increasing the retirement age, you're talking about, you know, take professional jobs, high skill jobs. Or even, you know, if you're an attorney or an engineer or a doctor, I mean, those are all opportunities that those younger cohorts, those younger age groups don't have an opportunity to fulfill. And so, the longer people stay working, the less opportunities there are for younger folks. And, you know, I saw an alarming statistic yesterday. I was looking through, Rick Snyder's dashboard. It's something that last year during State of the State, he loved to reference, and he was so proud that he was going to have this little, you know, dashboard full of metrics. And, you know, the unemployment rate among veterans was very high. The unemployment rate among young people was very high. College students, leaving, the number of people entering college, or colleges, students were, graduates were leaving at an alarming rate. There was less people entering college because it's become less affordable. And when you take all these into consideration, I mean, you know, when your workforce is less educated, it decreases the price because it has less value to it. But also, when you do have people who graduate with degrees who have some value, to their skills and their abilities, when people don't retire, it really affects everybody all the way down. It's those middle management people that don't get to move up to those higher positions, and it's those intro level people that don't get to move up to the middle level,
yeah,
and it's college graduates that don't get jobs.
The exponential effect of that is it's devastating. If we translate into that into real numbers, these are devastating numbers. Come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about education. Something that I know is important to you. Education is incredibly important to everybody, but you have a particular take on this that we want to get to. And folks, again, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Great to have my brother Chris Mihalakis back in studio. A happy new year to everybody still. We'll take the break and we'll be back. Stay with us. This is 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have an accident in the Lodge southbound right before the Southfield Freeway, 275 northbound before 7 Mile. We have an A bit of a slowdown there between 7 Mile and 696, and 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Ross. That is backed up too. I'm Russell Traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 44. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 31. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high in the lower to mid-40s once again. Right now, it's fair and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you, Grant.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Venero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW. Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Right now at the Home Depot, buy new Martha Stewart Living or Platinum Plus carpet and get it installed for just $37. You also get lifetime stain and installation warranties. So it's never been easier to completely transform a room with better carpet at a better price. It all starts with $37 installation on new carpet. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid on basic installation, U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Chris Mialakis with us. He's only with us to the bottom of the hour, so let's try to get as much as we possibly can. You have a Metro AFL CIO meeting today, right?
That's right.
And so we've got to make sure that you show up for that on time, and so we appreciate you giving us the time. Where do you want to go from here? We'll throw it back to you.
Well, you mentioned education a little bit at the last segment, and one thing that I found really appalling was Rick Santorum encouraging people not to go to college. And again, that's another Republican deliberate effort to try to lower the cost of labor to be beneficial for big corporations. And harmful for individual workers by dissuading them from investing in themselves and wanting to better their lives. But, that's a big issue. Another, problem we have is this isn't just a federal issue. If you look on the state level, Republicans in the legislature were pushing legislation that I talked about a whole lot last year regarding workman's comp. You know, instead of sick people and injured people taking the time to heal, the Republicans want to shove them back into the workforce in any way possible.
In any way possible is the key words there.
Yeah, and it's like if you can do anything, they're going to like push you in the workforce and do it rather than have a safe and healing, you know, recovery. And, you know, what that does is it, again, it increases the supply of labor. It which drops the cost of labor. Anytime you increase the supply of labor in the market, the wage rate, the supply of labor goes down.
Is it unfair of me to characterize this at least a tinge of slavery?
To some extent. I mean, that's my big joke in the legislature. Whenever, you know, you hear Republicans saying, oh, we got to be more competitive and we need to create more jobs by, you know, by giving, employers more flexibility. I mean, that's what they call dropping wages. And then I always nudge whatever labor lobbyist is sitting next to me and say, you know, if we were all slaves, we'd all have jobs.
Yeah, well, okay. So maybe it's not that far out there. Because it's just a tinge of it. I'm not saying that this is, you know, 100%, you know, taking us back to slavery, but it feels just a little bit like that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like the old saying goes with Harriet Tubman, you know, why did she only free 300,000 or 300 slaves? Because the rest didn't know that they were enslaved.
Yeah.
And, wow. but, you know, you want to look at other things too. Deregulation is something that Republicans often look at, as a solution to quote unquote growing the economy. And a lot of times deregulation not only hurts individuals and consumers, but also workers, you know, item pricing.
Well, I was going to say during the break, we were talking about, you know, some of the recent gains in the FCW membership, but you said it's been offset a little bit by the fact that not that they're letting people go, but they're not hiring.
Right.
Stores aren't hiring people and because direct a result of the item pricing law.
Right. So they repeal item pricing law and prices have not gone down, as Harvey Santana said last week, as you mentioned. And just like what we predicted, the big boom that we have of new hires that comes every fall in anticipation of the holiday season didn't happen. And so through attrition, you know, we've lost a lot of membership, and those are people who, you know, could be working in a good unionized environment, making good wages, you know, eventually eligible for great benefits that just aren't going to have those opportunities anymore, that stay in the labor market. Which, you know, again, it increases the supply of labor, which drops the price, and it keeps unemployment high. You know, before we talked about how, you know, workers in America don't work a 40-hour work week anymore. They don't get 2 weeks paid vacation anymore.
Right.
It's a 46-hour work week, and it's like 5 days paid vacation a year, five or six, as opposed to 10. Those are two other factors where if everybody worked a 40-hour work week, if everybody had, you know, used their vacation time and had real compensation for lost time, you know, the demand for labor would increase dramatically. And what would that do? It would increase the price and it'd be more money in our pockets. And so when we're talking about the supply and the demand of the labor market, what listeners need to think about and what they need to consider when they go to vote is everything the Republicans do revolves around the supply side. It revolves around how to make employers more profitable. After all, employers are people, according to Mitt Romney.
That's right.
Whereas that's one way to grow the economy, but it only grows it for a small segment. You know, Democrats sometimes, most of the time, not always, and progressives are more concerned with growing the demand side of the economy. Let's put more money in people's pockets so they can have more purchasing power and so they can drive the economy that way. And that's a big thing we have to think about when we go to the voting booths in the fall.
Well, talking about going to the voting booths, my segue here to talk about today's primary in New Hampshire, and I think that's, you know, again, although that's not Michigan, and these aren't Democrats that are voting, it's mostly Republicans, it's an important discussion to have, and this is the beginning of a critical piece of the process. We determine through this who the Republican candidate will be. That matters to everybody.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been disheartening. You know, we all thought it was going to be Romney from the beginning, and it's looking like it's going to be that way. Unfortunately, you know, he's going to win New Hampshire, and the question will be how significant. And if he wins South Carolina, that'll make the rest of the primaries obsolete and not matter. The other thing that we have to consider is, you know, this, the way the primary process works is you're electing people to represent you in the national convention. And while I am not advocating his candidacy, you know, at all, if the more delegates Ron Paul gets, the more interesting I think our convention will be. And I think that's something for your listeners to consider. I think there's, you know, while Ron Paul tries to play himself as this, like, independent libertarian, he's been a good Republican soldier all along. I went on his website last night, and it's really funny. There's two Ron Paul websites. There's ronpaul.com and ronpaul2012.com. ronpaul.com is run by Ron Paul fans, and there they highlight his position on the war and on drugs and you know, all the, like,
the libertarian,
the libertarian stuff. But on Ron Paul's website, none of that stuff's up there. It's about how, you know, faith, his faith is so important to him, and he's you know, he's accepted Jesus Christ in his heart. Not that there's anything wrong with that, absolutely.
Of course not.
But it's just funny to hear
it's
that.
It's more evangelical, conservative, Tea Party.
Exactly. He's talking about how he's pro-life. And the most alarming thing that he mentioned was how he wanted to sponsor a national right to work law. So Ron Paul, this supposed proponent for freedom, wants to limit everyone in the country's ability to choose what they can bargain when they go in a bargain with their employer. He wants to say you can bargain on this, but not on that.
Very much a hypocrite.
Right.
And I'm glad that you out him for what he is, because he is very hypocritical. And it's interesting because he is very smart in that he allows the Ron Paulites to be his cheerleaders and to be his messenger. I was at Oakland University when they were there for the debate. I happened to be there, and there was a huge Ron Paul contingent there. And, you know, again, they're supporting issues that he never even talks about. But he never does.
But if he gets enough delegates going into the convention, it can get really interesting, because I don't think he's going to give them up.
All right. Well, on February 28th, people might just want to venture into a booth. And I don't, you know, we're just saying that's what they want to do. Chris, it's great to have you back. We're going to have a great year, of course. What we're going to do on Tuesdays from this point out is going to be fairly significant for the audience. So I'm looking forward to partnering with you on this, and a lot of great information. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Happy New Year. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a quick break here. We're open lines for the balance of the show. So give us a call, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. What say you? Let me know.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have a couple of accidents out there. 696 eastbound right before Franklin. We have an accident there in the center lane. Traffic is backed up all the way from the 275 interchange. Also, M59 westbound at Squirrel Road. We have an accident there blocking the right lane. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 44. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 31. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high back in the mid-40s. Right now, it's fair and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start living.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
A bipartisan majority in Washington has been quietly funding a multi-million-dollar educational initiative to lift people up. Great! Except that the initiative is not for hard-hit Americans, but for Afghanistan. Actually, only top Afghan officials can participate and get ready to upchuck. This so-called educational effort is to teach the corrupt leaders of President Hamid Karzai's regime the art of public relations. Specifically, how to hold news conferences. How's that going, you ask? Not well. Though in fairness, let's acknowledge that Karzai's officials have at least begun to hold a few actual press meetings. Previously, Afghan ministries required the media to submit any questions by fax, which was a bit of a runaround since they had no working fax machines. So, this is counted as a giant step forward. Now, though, U.S. instructors have abruptly withdrawn from the PR school. Apparently, they're annoyed that Karzai and his cohorts keep criticizing and frustrating our efforts to help them establish a functioning government. Last year, for example, the Afghan Attorney General expelled American advisors from his office after they kept pushing him to prosecute cases of blatant corruption against his fellow officials. Still, while our advisors, instructors, and mentors have been pulled, our money has not. American financing of the PR school continues. It's all part of our $8 billion tax dollars a month, that Washington keeps airlifting into Afghanistan, while our own people's educational and job training needs are being slashed. This is Jim Hightower saying, well, at least Obama is getting us out of Afghanistan in 2014, right? Well, he says so, but Pentagon war hawks say they want to negotiate with Karzai to keep thousands of American forces there and billions more of our tax dollars beyond Obama's deadline.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind.
Now,
here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome back on this January 10th program. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Jeff, it's awfully great to have Chris back with us this week. Didn't realize how much I missed him until we had him back, actually.
And that segment goes by fast as always.
Yeah, well, you know, we got a little spoiled, and I'm sure next week, if he doesn't have somewhere to be immediately, he'll spend a little more time with us, but he's kind of spoiled us in December, as he spent almost the entire hour with us a couple times, and it's just great because he has such an expansive knowledge of politics, and in his own way, it has such an approachable way that he talks about politics, and I know not only myself but the others appreciate that a great deal. Again, we're open lines to the top of the hour, so feel free to give us a call. 888-552-3595. The email address, as always, tony@thetonyshow.org. And last but not least, on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Joe sends me a quick note via email. Tony, this is in regards to Janice Daniels, the mayor of Troy. It says, Tony, she's starting to look like a cautionary tale. You know, children, please don't try this at home. You have a good week as well, Joe. Appreciate your thoughts there. We're going to go to the phones and welcome Dorothy in Farmington Hills. Dorothy, thanks for punching in with us this morning. Happy New Year to you.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, Tony. I have two things. I want to. One thing is about my state, and the other thing is about the Congress. The Democratic congressman had a press conference last week where they came into session, and when they got there, now a lot of these congressmen live out of state. And they flew all the way back to Washington thinking they was going to do our business that day. Well, they got there, and I don't know the representative who hit the gavel. He said a few little sentences and hit the gavel and said, the session is over. And they won't be back until January the 23rd. Now, my other problem is maybe I don't have a good understanding of our state. I know Governor Snyder would like to is going to pay this person to oversee Flint, E-Courts, Pontiac, Benton Harbor, and possibly Detroit, $180,000. So does that mean that the taxpayer would still have to pay the mayor and all those city councilmen people?
No, Dorothy, I can give you the answer to that question. That would be up to the emergency manager. Now, what's happened in Pontiac, where the emergency manager let everybody go. So he cut their wages and then let them go. Here's the problem in Pontiac, though. He then uses the mayor as a consultant and decides to pay him, I think it was 40 or 60% of what his pay was. So he is now getting somewhat of a paycheck, although the members of the city council are not. It all depends on the city and the emergency manager in each situation. So Dorothy and Flint, what he did was he got rid of everybody again, but the mayor kept the mayor on as a consultant with a reduced salary. So it's different in Benton Harbor. He just got rid of everybody and cut all the wages. So it's just different in every community, Dorothy. Yes, it is horrible, and I'm glad that you asked the question. People need to know what's going on in these cities in Public Act 4. Again, blessings to you, a happy new year, and I appreciate the call this morning, Dorothy.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. 888-552-3595. Let us welcome Roger in Garden City to First Shift. Roger, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, Joni. Happy New Year to you. It's good to hear your voice again, and you're doing so well educating the public about what's really happening out there. I just want to make a few comments about Mitt Romney. I think the guy is a very charming fella, and this guy will charm your socks off. He'll pull the wool over your eyes. My dad always said, be careful of those that smile at you. They're not always your friend, and boy, was he ever right when he told me that. I learned the hard way. But I was wondering what your thoughts are.
On Mitt Romney?
Yes.
You know, Roger, that's thanks. Thank you actually for asking. I don't trust Mitt Romney. There's something about him that intuitively rubs me the wrong way, and part of it is that he's always smiling. I've never seen the guy, you know, slip into serious mode. You know, sometimes I want my candidate to be serious. Sometimes I want my candidate even to be emotional. Sometimes I want them to be angry. It's another way of saying I want my candidate to look human. Mitt Romney is always happy, always has the solution, always wants what's best for everybody. And that's just, Roger, not realistic. I don't feel comforted by Mitt Romney. And you know, maybe that sounds a little mamby-pamby to some people, but I want my candidate to make me feel cared for and comforted, and he doesn't do that for me, Roger.
Well, the other thing, too, is we all know what he did at Bain Capital. He was not a job creator. This guy, you know, put people out of business and raided companies and profited big time with it. It's pretty easy to smile when you're worth $250 million, Tony.
You're right. It is. And that's why it's disingenuous, Roger, when he says that he knows what it's like to be unemployed, because he doesn't know what it's like to be unemployed. The man's never wanted for anything in his life. His father, on the other hand, who was a far better American than Mitt Romney will ever be, knows what it's like, because his father came from nothing. Mitt Romney, no. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and he acts like he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. You know, we played some audio, Roger, from the debate on Sunday in Meet the Press, where, you know, he talked about, you know, if you know, his father gave him advice that you shouldn't run for office if you've got a mortgage to pay or if you've got young children. You know, a lot of people were offended by that, and justifiably so. Roger, he just doesn't get it. I want to thank you for the call, Roger. Happy New Year to you. And I really do appreciate the kind words that you started your call with. And let's work hard to get the president reelected in 2012 and not have to worry about this stuff, all right?
Well, thanks, Tony. Appreciate your comments and have a great New Year.
You bet, Roger. I appreciate you asking me. Now, that's interesting. You asked me what most people don't ask me what I think. I always, of course, I'm telling you folks what I think. But it took me back a little bit when he says, hey, what do you think? Because I don't often get asked. So thank you. I do appreciate that. Again, we're open lines if you want to join us. 888-552-3595. Those of you that are not aware, the New Hampshire primary is today. The primary is very much like an election. Polls open at 7 o'clock, close at 8 p.m. or whatever it is in that state. And then when they're done, they count the votes, and that's the winner. Unlike a caucus. A caucus happens just in the evening, so it's a little bit of very much different process. 888-552-3595. My old friend Dan in Milford. I can say we're old friends, can I now at this point, Dan?
You got it. How are you doing, brother?
Good morning. Good morning to you, and thanks for punching in. What's on your mind today?
Hey, you know what, Tony? I was thinking about Public Act 4, and it was a comment. I can't remember whether it was a caller or a guest a number of days ago that really pointed it out as taxation without representation.
That was me that said that, actually.
Okay. And I look at that, Tony, and I listen to that, And it makes me think about the fact that we have, there has to be a way to attack the law and really the actions under the law legally, as being whether it's unconstitutional or, you know, whatever it is. And I gotta believe that there's some lawyers on, that work for the good guys, that would put together. Have you heard anything about
yes,
legal
there is, yes, law? There is, Dan. So let me share that with you. The Sugar Law Center is working on a class action lawsuit against the state of Michigan that would declare Public Act 4 unconstitutional. So that is an ongoing process, and it's happening as we speak. We also have the work of Michigan Forward that has been out there collecting signatures and certifying signatures to place this on the ballot as a referendum in November of this year that would, get rid of Public Act 4 in its current form and take us back to the former emergency financial manager law, which was not nearly as dictatorial as Public Act 4 is. So there are two efforts. One of them legal. The other one is being done from a Democratic standpoint. Dan, here's the problem. The state legislature, right before they broke in the end of 2011, proposed some legislation that would do an end around on what's happening with regard to a referendum where they would not only change the law as Public Act 4 currently stands, but they would also put an appropriation on it. And let me explain what that means. They would dedicate an amount of money. It would be an insignificant amount of money that would say that they would need to do this in order to, as an example, print brochures to educate the public as to what the new law would mean. The reason that they would do that is they found that constitutionally, if you attach that to a law, you cannot have a public referendum against it. In essence of saying, you cannot have the public vote it down. So again, it's bad. It's bad policy, to be honest with you.
It's crazy, and it wouldn't take very much in terms of how we talk about Public Act 4 to get supports from both sides of the aisle, you know, because it wouldn't take a Tea Party leaning type right winger long to realize that, hey, if this unelected quote unquote public official is going to come after, let's say, for example, their right to bear arms because the governor has installed them, it's not too much of a leap to say, look, if you can fire publicly elected officials, you can certainly go in there and say, well, it's an emergency. We need to remove people's rights to own guns. That's basically the same thing. And I think that talking about it like that would help.
Well, you know what, Dan? You're right. Maybe talking about it would help. This is what I don't get. Those, and thank you for your call, Dan. Those that are of the Republican persuasion, let me make this point. It's not just as a Democrat, my democracy that's being taken away. It's all of our democracy that's being taken away. Why are you not concerned about that? Why are you not concerned about that? Is there a Republican? Is there a conservative? Is there a Tea Party person out there that can explain that to me? Why are you not concerned about your democratic rights being usurped? 888-552-3595. We'll take a break and wrap it up on the other side. And if I share with you my story,
would you share your dollar with me? Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, It's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Recently on First Shift.
We're going to go to the phones and welcome our first caller of the year 2012. Jeff in Milford joins us. Jeff, welcome to First Shift.
Are you kidding me? I'm the first one? What a delight and privilege. This is going to be a good day. I can see that right now. It's like I was telling Junior there. As soon as this show goes up on the podcast, I'm downloading it. I'm burning it to CDs and I'm mailing it out to friends of mine. So.
You're the man.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, feel free to ring us up because that's it. That's it for today. What we got, the time we have left, the 9 minutes we have left, it's for you. So if you have something on your mind, I'd love to hear from you. Facebook has been active this morning, especially Jeff. The story that I placed on there, I don't know, at 4 o'clock this morning about the mayor of Troy. We've already got 10 comments. Quite a few likes. Some people sharing that piece. And then Chris Savage from Eclecta Blog just posted the thing that where the Republican strategist calling Senator Gretchen Whitmer a government hooker, which is just so dead wrong. In response to her column in the Free Press or her opinion piece in the Free Press yesterday about the male chauvinism, sexism in the state legislature, just proving the point, I guess. Wow, you know, I realize it's politics after all, but folks, come on, a little civility. Even I can be civil from time to time. I made the comment, and I'm going to not pat myself on the back, but I am going to underscore what I said. When I talk about Governor Snyder, I talk about Governor Snyder. I don't call him Ricky or Dick. I'm respectful to the office. That is not true. When Governor Granholm, and trust me, I was heavy into politics. So when Governor Granholm was the governor, she was Jenny, and the Republicans treated her with a great deal of disrespect. I think they feared her because she was so much more intelligent than they were, to be honest with you. And often when we deal with people that are more intelligent than we are, we try to dumb everybody down. Of course, we mostly make ourselves look stupid, but that doesn't negate the fact that it happens. 888-552-3595. Joe in East Point joins us now. Joe, my friend, welcome back to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, just a little something on this emergency manager thing. I was just thinking, you know, if somebody showed up at my door, if I were the mayor, and I thought that his being there was unconstitutional, I just simply would deny him access to any offices. I'd send him away. I'd make him come back with the state police or somebody. My constituents did not elect you to come down here. The governor does not have the power to usurp our authority, the city council, and mine. So go away. You'll have to come back with something else. I bet you that would bring things to a head. Just simply do not let them in.
Well,
lock them out.
It would be interesting to see what happens. Unfortunately, Public Act 4 does give them the legal right to come in and do all those things, Joe. And Public Act 4 does do that.
you know, Public Act 4 may, but he still wouldn't get in. You know, I would still, you know, so the Republican legislature sent them down, you know, sent him down. I'm still going to lock you out. I'm still going to make you, you know, work to get in.
Well, I'm certainly not going to argue with you because I would do it, too. I'd be all in favor of doing that, to be honest with you, Joe. I'd have no problem with that at all.
Could the president take it a step further and say these governors are lousy, rotten, so I have the power and the authority? I'll have the legislature, you know, national legislature, pass a law. We'll just have an emergency governor go in there for a while to straighten things out.
Well,
I know that's taking it kind of far.
That is, and I don't see the federal government getting involved in that way, but
no,
I like the way you're thinking, Joe.
Well, hey, I just wouldn't let him in. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that a great deal. And there's a reason that people are frustrated and upset and concerned and angry over the emergency manager. If you're not paying attention to this, why? You need to be. And this is stuff that is affecting us on a daily basis. How far is your community, by the way? How far away is the community you live in from needing a financial manager? You might be stunned to learn. I mean, stunned to learn how close your community is to needing an emergency manager. And what that would mean to your community in a greater way. I know I live in Dearborn Heights. We did pass a Headley override during the last election. I was then told by a friend of mine that they were still looking to, although we had passed a Headley override to support the police and firemen, that they were looking to still lay off police and firemen, which makes no sense. I mean, why would you lie? But there's a lot of lying going on. I go back to, you know, even especially in my community where I don't believe the mayor and the city council were being honest with the citizens, that they were, you know, that they just weren't being honest, that there were things that should have been told to the people that weren't told to the people. It's hard to say and do the right thing all the time. There's no question that's true. I'm not suggesting that I'm above the fray. All I'm saying is that at a time where we need to cooperate, at a time where we need to be honest with one another and just deal with what we have to deal with in a straightforward way, I'm thinking that as hard as the truth is, if you're honest with me from the beginning, at least when the bad news comes, I won't be surprised. And maybe that's not enough for some, but for me it is. And I would rather get the hard truth, the honest hard truth, now than to be told a lie and then to find out later that, you know, months later or whatever it is that, you know, I should have known it was coming. But unfortunately, politicians normally don't work that way. I'm trying to think of, go into the vast the memory banks to figure, to share with you a story of some good story, but I'm not finding it in there. That doesn't mean it's not there. It just means that maybe there's too much space up there, so it's all clunking around. Bottom line is we have problems. We still have problems. And electing a new president's not going to solve those problems. We still aren't working together. We're still politically divided. At the national level, and I said this last week, I don't know that we're going to get the House back nationally. I think that we will statewide. I think that 2012 will foretell good things for the state legislature. National legislature, I am not as convinced. But a lot of that will depend on what's coming up. Now, we did see, and again, a lot of it, I believe, are just seasonal numbers, where we saw a significant increase of 200,000 jobs in the last month. But I think we're going to find that those were temporary jobs at best, and that by the end of February, most of those jobs will unfortunately have disappeared. I'm hoping to be wrong. I just don't see the economy turning around enough yet to make a significant difference. And then, you know, we were talking with Chris Mihalakis, and again, I'll start digging up those numbers again. But we need to create so many jobs every month to make up not only for the jobs that we lose, but the people that leave the workplace and through retirement mostly. If we demand that people work later in their lives to 68 or 70, whatever it might be, we exponentially reduce the amount of available jobs to people that are younger. Although the president has made a commitment to helping younger people find jobs, 180,000 of them this summer, we still need to find employers to create those 180,000 jobs. I'm not convinced they're out there, but, you know, we'll continue to explore this. Tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit about Internet piracy. We'll also visit with Stephen Henderson, and we'll get an update on what happened in New Hampshire. A lot to get to tomorrow. I want to thank Anthony and Jeff for all of their hard work. Of course, you folks are just amazing. Thanks for all your email this morning. I'm Tony Truppiano. Again, off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're still hit that accident, 696 eastbound right before the Lodge exit. It's blocking the right center lane. Also, 375 southbound at Lafayette. We have an accident there, partially blocking that exit ramp. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service, awful sunny today, a high near 44. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 31. Then tomorrow, more sunshine, a high once again in the 40s. Right now, it's fair and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. Have a great day, everybody.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Identify.